Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
By changing today, and we have to, because tomorrow really matters. So tell a friend and stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. All it takes to poison the peppers is salmonella-tainted water for irrigation. And the FDA's Dr. David Acheson says that's what they found at a big farm in Mexico.
Both the water used for irrigation and a sample of serrano peppers from the same farm that matched the outbreak strain of Salmonella St. Paul. So this is a key breakthrough.
The advice is don't eat fresh jalapeno or serrano peppers from Mexico. Peppers from the U.S. or processed peppers in packaged products are okay. American Airlines just doesn't have the people at JFK Airport to manually handle all the luggage if the baggage handling system breaks down, and it did. Planes were delayed but flew, and the bags are a big question mark.
I need to have my bags. That's what I'm worried about, and I need to go on time, too, because I have to catch a cruise.
They know where the bags are. They're in a monster pile at JFK. Delta Airlines has decided to start charging you $50 to check a second bag. It's double the previous fee. The first bag is still free. It's important for our minds as we grow older to be together.
Being middle-aged and single might raise your Alzheimer's risk. In a Swedish study, it doubled for people who'd always been single, tripled for divorcees who remain alone, and jumped 6 times for those who lost a spouse and never remarried. Another study finds middle-agers decrease their risk if they tend to mull over choices and difficulties. Makes sense to Maria Carrillo of the Alzheimer's Association.
People that remain socially, cognitively, and mentally active actually can delay the risk of dementia.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News at the International Alzheimer's Conference, Chicago.
Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert will not stand for re-election in September, which means Middle East peace agreements by the end of the Bush administration are even less likely. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
We continue to watch parties and to work with parties who are working very, very hard toward an agreement. The issues are difficult, and they've always been difficult. There's nothing surprising in that.
New ad by John McCain's campaign says Barack Obama's more celebrity than leader.
McCain's campaign manager concedes that Obama was very successful at attracting crowds in Europe, but he says many American voters will wonder, does that mean Obama can lead the country? That the message of a new TV ad by the McCain campaign.
He's the biggest celebrity in the world.
That shows Obama, Paris Hilton, and Britney Spears. And in Aurora, Colorado, McCain said,
my concern with Senator Obama, what he says and what he does are often two different things.
Obama replies that McCain doesn't seem to have much to say that's positive about himself. Dan Revive, CBS News.
On Wall Street, the Dow gained 186 points. NASDAQ picked up 10. Oil prices down nicely yesterday, bounced back up by more than $4.50 to more than $126 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Black Magic Tire Wet. They nail it on the name of this stuff for what? The magic it performs on your tires? Skaboosh! Hey, you know what? Advanced Auto Parts nailed it on their offer. You get 2 23-ounce bottles of Black Magic Tire Wet for $9 and save $2.96 on the deal. The offer ends August 30th, so get your wheels spinning over to Advance, buy some Black Magic, and shine up your car boots. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
For this summer's ultimate fun on the water experience, you need to get into a Sea-Doo personal watercraft or sport boat. For a very limited time, you can get no money down, no interest, and no payments until next season. Plus a gas card valued up to $2,000 based on model or a 3-year limited warranty. Hurry in to your local Sea-Doo dealer today for details. Sea-Doo, the good life just got better. Offer ends 8-2108, subject to credit approval restrictions apply. See dealer for details or visit seadoo.com.
A public school in Florida has been told it must open its doors to a homosexual support group.
The ACLU sued the Okeechobee County School District after it banned a student gay straight group from meeting on campus. A federal judge has now ruled the district violated the Federal Equal Access Act. ACLU lead attorney Robert Rosenwald.
The judge in this case was clear that the school board needed to provide for the well-being of its gay students, and that the Gay Straight Alliance was a good way to do that.
The judge didn't buy the district's argument that the alliance interfered with the school's abstinence-only education policy, saying the club promotes tolerance and dialogue. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Many people are choosing temporary henna-colored tattoos because they aren't sure the dancing babe or the squirming snake will be so cool years down the road. Dermatologists say avoid temporary tattoos in black because natural henna only comes in brown, green, or red. PPD, a dangerous chemical, is often used to blacken it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 25% too. From July 31st through August 4th, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. Save up to 25% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paint, stain, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. At For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
So, there's a new stress treatment.
What is it?
It's the Sizzlin' Sampler from the United States Virgin Islands.
Now get $200 off our attractions and activities, a $100 traveler's check, up to $100 resort or room credit,
and your fourth night free. Call your favorite travel agent today.
Side effects include a favorable disposition toward rush hours and long work weeks. Offer valid at participating hotels on reservations through October 15, 2008 for travel between August 16th and October 31st, 2008. Blackout dates and restrictions apply.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's great to have you listening. We are live up and down the left coast, and this hour will be replayed Saturday afternoon on Green 960 in San Francisco. Wherever you are, however you're listening, welcome aboard the Peter B. Collins Show. We're not a straight talk express. I'll let you figure out what we actually are. In a moment, Paul Waldman will join us from Media Matters for America. And later this hour, a Republican on the Peter B. Well, a former Republican here on the PBC show. Bob Barr of Georgia, a fascinating guy, came in with the Gingrich Revolution to Congress in 94 and is now the Libertarian candidate for president. And he was on the panel at the almost impeachment hearings a week ago in Washington. We'll get Bob Barr's take on the extra-constitutional behavior of the Bush administration and what we should be doing about it. And if you're listening live, you're welcome to participate. You can call in toll-free at any time. I pay for the call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, peter at peterbcollins.com. Paul Waldman leads off our show today. He's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. Their website is great information all the time. They hold the right wing and mainstream media accountable. And occasionally when the left gets off course, they're not afraid to criticize us too. And Paul is the co-author with David Brock, the founder of Media Matters, of a powerful book called Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. And just before we dive into the McCain issues, Paul, I want to thank Media Matters for the excellent work that you and your colleagues have done
done on exposing the hateful comments of Michael Savage in the recent episodes where he made just flatly untrue and despicable remarks about people with autism and the motives that parents have when a diagnosis like that arises. And I just appreciate, despite the vitriol, that he points back at Media Matters in a very personal and hateful way, that you continue to fight for our right to have honest things expressed in our media and not allow people who are peddling falsehoods and mischaracterizations to get away with it.
Well, yeah, that's why we do it. And it's not too surprising that in the wake of this, there are stations that are finally dropping Michael Savage and advertisers that are pulling out of his show. And I think they're basically saying, you know, enough is enough. There's only so much of that kind of hateful stuff that we'll tolerate, and maybe they've reached their limit.
We can hope, but it is a lot of hope. I mean, it's nice to see that one major advertiser pulled back and that some stations have dropped his program, but by and large, we're seeing the suits just say, well, he's just an entertainer. Just laugh it off, and if you don't like it, listen to something else.
Yeah, I can tell you, I've been talking about that on some radio shows, and usually there are fans of Michael Savage's that call in, and I can tell you, they do not treat what he says as just entertainment that should be disregarded. They think that what he says to them is the gospel truth. So that's what's really disturbing about it.
Well, and I want to be careful in the next comment I make, but last Sunday we had a guy go into a Unitarian church in Knoxville with a shotgun. Six people injured, two people died. And on his reading list were books by Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, and Bill O'Reilly. And I want to be clear that I'm not saying there's a direct linkage there, but we know from news accounts that this man felt he was motivated to do this because this church was too liberal, it was pro-gay, and he took this action. And I think we do have to acknowledge that some of the hateful media that's consumed by people like him does push them over the edge.
Yeah, and I've been thinking a lot about that since those reports came out, that not only that he had written that he wanted to you know, to hurt liberals, and it was obviously because this church was such a progressive church that's where he targeted, and that he had those books by people like Savage and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly in his house. And the conclusion I came to is that they do bear some responsibility, not because they're telling people that they should go out and murder people, but if you look at the rhetoric of those hosts when they talk about liberals, you know, I think one of the best ways to see this is subtitles of their books. You know, right on my desk here, I have a book by Sean Hannity that's called Deliver Us from Evil. And the subtitle is Defeating Terrorism, Despotism, and Liberalism.
Yeah.
And it's all about how liberals are evil, that they're trying to destroy America, and they have to be destroyed. That is the rhetoric of all of those right-wing hosts. So it's not surprising that people who are mentally ill or unbalanced in some way or, you know, cross over some kind of line end up committing acts of violence. If they're going to be committing acts of violence, it's not surprising they're directed at the people who they've been listening to, have been telling them are the big problem, the people who are destroying America.
Yeah, and it's interesting, in the coverage by the New York Times and by the Associated Press, the follow-up stories on this man, I think his name is Hotchkiss, they left out the reading materials. I've found that on the web in many different locations. It's not a secret, but the New York Times chose not to include that in its coverage of the mindset of this shooter.
Yeah, and that's really disappointing because whatever kind of conclusions you can draw about it, and, you know, you may disagree with what I think about that or what somebody else thinks about it, but it's obviously an important part of the story of where this guy was coming from and understanding that event.
Paul Waldman with us from Media Matters, co-author of the book Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. And at Media Matters, you have a separate political action group, right, called MediaMattersAction.org. And it's affiliated, but they are separate, and it permits you to put out messages like the audio that we're about to hear from a commercial. And this was, I think, very well done, and it shows a John McCain peeling off little petals of a daisy as he describes the way the media has been treating him. Let's listen.
They love me, they love me not.
He's widely admired by members of the media, myself included.
They love me.
The press loves McCain. We're his base.
They love me.
The words Maverick and McCain have almost become synonymous.
The Maverick McCain.
The Maverick. They love me, they love me, they love me.
For the press, so I think every last one of them would move to Massachusetts and marry John McCain if they could.
They love me.
Fed up, take the pledge to hold the media accountable. Media Matters Action Network is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
And what's this based on, Paul? Why is the media just so much in love with John McCain?
Well, it really is the product of a decade-long campaign, even more at this point. I mean, I think that you can really date it to around after the Keating Five scandals when he really began to court them. And he does it like nobody else does. He understands reporters better than anybody else does, and he has spent years getting them on his side. And you know, you can still see it today. It's been an extraordinary spectacle. I never thought I'd see the day when John McCain was complaining about the media.
Yeah.
As he is now. But the fact is, had it not been for the affection that he gets from the press corps, he'd be an obscure backbencher. Nobody would know who he is, but instead he's the Republican nominee for president. And it's because of his relationship with the media. They have pushed him along, lifted him up, and it's been going on for years, and that's why he's where he is.
Well, and I just popped open your book, Free Ride, and on page 70 you have an interesting graph. You looked at the number of mentions of the word maverick within 10 words of McCain in print and broadcast media. And it shows this huge spike during the 2000 campaign, but it shows that once that meme was established, starting in 1999, it has been quite consistent. And the coverage of McCain is peppered with this term maverick, which, you know, it's interesting because nobody ever quite defines what that means, but we know it's a good thing.
And here's the thing. Any reporter who started a story by saying, Barack Obama, who's offering change we can believe in, today came to Ohio to give a speech on the economy. If a reporter wrote a story that started that way, he would get laughed out of the newsroom and ridiculed for being in the tank. But reporters constantly start stories by saying, John McCain, the maverick Arizona senator, today took his Straight Talk Express to Ohio. You see over and over and over again, those kinds of words and phrases that are basically the creations of the McCain campaign are how reporters just refer to him, as though maverick were just a part of his name. They don't spend any time talking about, well, is he actually a maverick? What is the evidence for this? Can we really examine this idea? Because we've said it literally thousands and thousands of times over the years, and you find it's almost never explored. And the truth is, when you actually take a look at the facts, he's really not much of a maverick.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is fascinating to me, Paul, because as Obama went on his world tour recently and got oodles of media attention, the network anchors went along with him, and everybody was commenting about how perfectly they executed this. He didn't make any serious gaffes and got 200,000 people to come out for a speech in Berlin. But as that was going on, the knives were out with this whole theme that Obama can't admit that the surge has worked. And I'm really infuriated by this because the media is passing off the surge having worked with the same intensity they did that Saddam had WMD. And we're not permitted to question this. It is a fact, according to the U.S. media. And where did they get it? From some generals and from the Bush administration. And they haven't analyzed it. I've never seen a report that says, did the surge really work? Yet they are using this to try to throw Obama off. And they keep telling us that he should admit that he made a mistake. And he's answered it very effectively that it wasn't just the insertion of more American troops that has changed the situation in Iraq.
And what's remarkable is that every time Barack Obama gets interviewed, he's being asked that question now. Why won't you admit that the surge has worked? And nobody seems to be asking John McCain to fess up and admit that he was wrong about the war in the first place, or if at all, extremely rarely. And, you know, for all of the attention that was paid to that trip, McCain still seems to have an extraordinary ability to dictate the terms on which the press is going to proceed. So he decides that that's an important question, and then they all start asking Obama. The McCain campaign decided that they would, you know, frankly just lie about this issue, quote unquote, about whether or not Obama snubbed the troops in Landstuhl, Germany, even though they put up this blatantly dishonest ad about it, mm-hmm. just not telling the truth, and that became the topic about which the press was going to talk for days. They've shown that ad on TV dozens and dozens of times.
For free. Now, for free. That's really important. It has had five paid plays that have been reported. All right.
Every time the McCain campaign puts out a new ad, it gets all this free airtime on cable news, and I haven't seen any Obama ads recently. And now today, almost on cue, the McCain campaign puts out a press release and a new ad that is talking about how Barack Obama is presumptuous, and we could talk about what that really means. And all of a sudden, the discussion is about that.
And they also talk about what they consider his lack of experience. We're going to pick up there, and we'll play the audio from that new McCain hit on Obama coming up in just a moment. We'll also cite the New York Times Wednesday lead editorial called Low Road Express. More with Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Patty Ross with your real estate update for the Monterey Peninsula for the week of July 28th. You know, I usually talk about the newest listings available to keep you updated, but today I'm going to talk about the listings that have been on the market upwards of 1 year. You know, most of us are aware that if a house is overpriced, it's not going to sell quickly or perhaps ever. The properties we're going to talk about today are good properties with bad timing. They came on the market thinking one way, and I'm sure by now they're ready to say uncle. That's what this market's all about. The buyers are definitely in the driver's seat. So, first listing is in Carmel, 24936 Valley Way. This is a 5-bedroom, 2.5-bath home for $2,995,000. It's a Saroyan signature home, just meticulously restored and rebuilt to perfection. Has hand-hewn pecan walnut floors, custom sinks, top-of-the-line appliances, 6 plasma TVs, 3 fireplaces. It sits on about a third of an acre, completely fenced, has a guest house, electric gates, professional landscaping with stone patios. This house really has it all. 2,600 square feet on just about a third of an acre. So, great deal at $2,995. Let's get over to Monterey Salinas Highway at 23710 Determine Lane. We have a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath for $1,250,000. This one's located on a private cul-de-sac in prestigious York Hills neighborhood. It's right near Ryan Ranch and convenient to the Laguna Seca Golf Course. It's situated on 1.4-acre parcel, adjacent to a 10-plus-acre greenbelt, tranquil hill and pine forest views, expansive rear deck for entertaining, a must-see interior to appreciate fully. It's got quality appliances, granite countertops, hardwood floors. It's in the Washington Union School District, 2,543 square feet on 1.5-acre lot, a terrific value at $1,250,000. Last but not least, my value pick listing of the week is over at 38757 Palo Colorado Road. With all the fire issues, I'm guessing that at this point in time, these people are definitely ready to deal. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath for $7.97. The price has come down quite substantially here. You can just step off the grid into this cozy retreat set deep in the forest. This is a charming redwood home. It's ready to move into. Mature redwoods surround. Miles of hiking trails nearby in the Los Padres National Forest. You really feel here like you're at camp. 1,104 square feet on 7.5 acres. So there you have it. Any questions about any of these properties, please feel free to call me at 236-4513. You can email me at pattyross@kw.com or check out these and lots more listings on my website, www.pattyrosscarmel.com.
Presidential candidate Bob Barr about 10 minutes away.
The mountain is high.
To 1970, the albino from Texas, Edgar Winters, Free Ride. And they rented the name for the new book that David Brock and Paul Waldman wrote from the Edgar Winter Group. It's called Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. That's what we're discussing right now. And, Paul, I referenced Wednesday's New York Times editorial. McCain used to pride himself on being above the ugly brand of politics, which killed his own 2000 presidential bid. But he clearly tossed his inhibitions aside earlier this month when he put day-to-day management of his campaign in the hands of one acolyte of Karl Rove and gave top positions to two others. He's referring to Steve Schmidt there. And let's listen now to the audio from the newly released McCain slime ad against Barack Obama. And I want people to listen very carefully here, because when they question his experience, I believe that this is a code for race. And I'll explain in a moment. Oh, hold on. Hold on. We got it. I've got too many things going at once here. Edgar, pipe down. And here comes the audio from the TV spot, if I can get this to go. Here we go.
The biggest celebrity in the world.
And let me pause here. This spot describes Barack Obama as the biggest celebrity in the world, and it shows a picture of Paris Hilton first. Here we go.
He's the biggest celebrity in the world. But is he ready to lead? With gas prices soaring, Barack Obama says no to offshore drilling and says he'll raise taxes on electricity. Higher taxes, more foreign oil. That's the real Obama.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
And it's McCain-Feingold that requires the candidate to come on at the end of the spot and say, I approved this message. Paul, was there anything wrong with the commercial we just heard?
Where do I start? I think that you cannot avoid the conclusion that there is a kind of racist dog whistle going on here. First of all, they want to say that he's a celebrity, so they show pictures of two young blonde women who are defined in the public eye by their sexuality, Paris Hilton and Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. You know, this, the first thing that I thought of was that Call Me Harold ad from 2006.
Yeah.
With the young lady who looked like she may have been naked in the ad, talking about Harold Ford, the Senate candidate in Tennessee. You know, there are a lot of really actually interesting things going on in this ad. First of all of the pictures of Obama in the ad, and this is the only case I can think of in a negative ad like this. Usually the opponent is portrayed in some kind of dark photo that
right. looks cigars
possible. And in this case, all the pictures of Obama show him smiling. Now, why would that be? Well, the new McCain campaign message is that he's presumptuous. That he's getting a little too big for his britches. And I think that the word that it makes me think of is uppity. And it's not necessarily that they think everybody's going to interpret that way, but I think that they are sending that message, that he's, you know, who does he think he is? That seems to be the new McCain message. Not that there's something wrong with some policy or even just that he's inexperienced, but just who does this guy think he is? And I think that you cannot avoid the conclusion that there is a racial subtext to that, especially when you're pairing him with people like Paris Hilton, that, you know, he is this guy who's going to come and do I don't know what to your sisters, your daughters, and that he's happy about the fact that, you know, he's gotten one over on you.
Well, and Paul, from Democrats who I know who are uncomfortable with African Americans, these are white people, they use the phrase he doesn't have enough experience. as a way of covering for their racist discomfort. And I've seen that in many cases, and I think that showed up in focus groups, and the McCain campaign is playing on that.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that they would want to do if they wanted to basically exploit racism is to kind of give people a reason that they a way for them to kind of rationalize away their own discomfort with voting for a black man that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with any of the real legitimate reasons why you might not want to vote for Barack Obama. And there are plenty of legitimate reasons why somebody might not want to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was really just about race for you, for most people, you need to find a way to kind of explain it to yourself.
All right, got to stop. Thank you, Paul. Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org and the book Free Ride.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Walgreens, the pharmacy America has trusted since 1901. I'm Charles Osgood. On July 8th, a man named Dan Kaminsky of the computer security company IO Active announced that he had discovered a serious flaw in the big plumbing of the Internet that criminals could use to divert people to fake websites where their personal and financial information could be stolen. Kaminsky had warned the major service providers back in March that if they didn't fix the problem, he would go public, and so he did.
Once the word leaked out about this flaw, he had no choice but to kind of go fully public about it, because the bad guys would get the information, and now it's his responsibility to make sure that everybody else has the information so that the systems can be fixed.
More on this from CBS News technology consultant Larry Magid after this for Walgreens. Whatever your plans for the summer, whether you're picnicking at the park, heading to the beach, or flying across the country, you can get easy prescription refill service at any Walgreens. Walgreens has thousands of locations nationwide. Many of them are open for 24 hours, and because all of their pharmacies are connected, you'll find convenient prescription service at any location. That means any Walgreens you visit is your Walgreens. To find the one nearest you, just call 1-800-WALGREENS today.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
You have better things to think about than car insurance. You know, like where your 4-year-old hits your cell phone, or why your dog doesn't appreciate everything you do for him. Yeah, you've got a lot to think about. So GEICO invented GEICO.com. It makes doing everything from updating your policy to reporting a claim fast, easy, a no-brainer. Hey, with all you've got on the brain, it's the least we could do.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The Internet flaw Dan Kaminsky had discovered is in the domain name system.
Domain name system is kind of like a phone directory that routes web requests to the right server. And if there's a flaw in it, it can redirect a request to the wrong server. In fact, it could be hijacked so that a request for a bank, for example, could go to a hacker who could steal your passwords.
Fixing the flaw is easier said than done, says Larry Magid.
The problem is that there are a lot of servers that need to be fixed that are operated by different Internet service providers that operate under different kinds of software. So it's not so simple as finding a single patch that, for example, might fix a flaw in Microsoft Windows XP.
Why did Kaminsky go public, though? Doesn't that make things worse?
Part of his motivation is to put pressure on Internet service providers and other server operators to fix their software, because it would be easy to let this thing go, but with public pressure out there and knowledge, I think that these companies really have to fix it, or they are essentially liable for whatever happens.
Whatever the software problem is, the cat's now out of the bag.
So now that there is common knowledge there's a problem, it means it's a very serious flaw, because the hackers know it's there, just like the good guys.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land is made for you and me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert. And all around me, a voice was calling, yeah, this land was made for me.
Ah, but what about the Constitution?
It's your land, this land is my land, California, New York Island, the reservoir, the open water, yeah, this land is made
That's Everclear with a plugged-in version of Woody Guthrie's classic, This Land Is Your Land. And certainly America is a great land, but it wouldn't be what it is without our Constitution. And many Americans have spoken up about the rollback in our constitutional rights, about the constitutional violations committed by the Bush administration on many fronts. And Dennis Kucinich, congressman from Cleveland, a Democrat, has been a stalwart and kind of the Lone Ranger in trying to hold the Bush administration accountable by introducing a total of 36 articles of impeachment. And Friday, a week ago, John Conyers convened a session of the House Judiciary Committee that explicitly was not an impeachment hearing, but it explored abuses of presidential power. And you might think that it was just a bunch of whiny Democrats up there complaining about not winning on certain issues or not winning elections, that kind of thing. But it was a very interesting cross-section of America's leaders. And on our program recently, we have talked to Bruce Fine, a Republican who was part of the team that tried to impeach Bill Clinton. We talked to Mayor Rocky Anderson from Salt Lake City, who also was on the panel and has formed a new nonprofit group called High Road for Human Rights because of his deep concerns about the torture policies, the detention policies, and the departure from the Geneva Conventions that make the Bush administration unique in recent American history. And one of the people who also made a presentation at that panel was a very interesting gentleman, and I have to say that I do have mixed feelings about him, and he can't hear me right now. Katrina, my able producer, is trying to track down Bob Barr. But Bob Barr, like Bruce Fine, was part of the team that led the charge with Ken Starr for the impeachment of Bill Clinton, which I thought was way off base, although narrowly, I would agree that Mr. Clinton did commit perjury. He lied under oath. He did it intentionally. He did it knowingly. And so he is not, in my book, innocent. But I feel that his sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky is none of our business. And I think that the illegal war in Iraq, the torture policies, the wiretapping of American citizens, and other declines in our constitutional rights and our liberties are worthy of impeachment. And as we're looking for Mr. Barr on the telephone here, I just want to tell you a little bit about his background, because I looked him up here before the show, and there were things I didn't know. He graduated from high school in Tehran, Iran. His father was in the military, and they lived in Malaysia, Pakistan, Panama, and he graduated from a community high there in Tehran in 1966. He went to school then, got a master's degree from George Washington, a law degree from Georgetown, and then he went to work for the CIA. I didn't know that. He was there from 1978 From 1971 to 1978, he was employed by the CIA, and I don't know exactly what his duties were there. Then he moved to Georgia, and Ronald Reagan appointed him as a U.S. attorney. And I think that gives him the kind of experience that informs his critique of the way John Ashcroft and Alberto Gonzalez, and now Michael Mukasey, have been running the Justice Department under the Bush administration. And he then went on to run for Congress, and he was part of the Gingrich Revolution, elected in 1994, and he served three terms. And he is now, as I mentioned, the Libertarian candidate for president. And while I don't support everything that the Libertarian Party espouses, I think it's been interesting as the neocons took power in Washington, progressives and libertarians have found more common ground. And when it comes to these issues of our Constitution and the abrogation of our rights as American citizens, I think we can proudly connect with libertarians and speak to the powerful interests that have caused members of both parties to make decisions and take votes that have curtailed our rights here in the United States. And in that, I include Republicans and Democrats equally. And I believe the progressives and libertarians have a real job to do this year, to try to infuse the political campaigns with the important themes related to our constitutional values and the losses that we have suffered. And I have to single out Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama for their support of the FISA amendments that very clearly violate my and your Fourth Amendment rights to probable cause and a warrant from a court before intrusive search and seizure can occur. And so I think it's very important to understand that these issues transcend partisanship and that there are some people principled enough to stand up, speak out, regardless of the downside that they face from, in Bob Barr's case, the Republican Party that he used to embrace. And in the case of others, our patriotism is questioned. And, you know, we are challenged when they tell us that we need to roll back the civil rights of Americans in order to keep us safe. And I, for one, find that deeply offensive and quite un-American. So we're trying to reach Bob Barr. In the meantime, if you'd like to comment about impeachment, about accountability for the Bush administration, about the role of the Constitution in this year's political campaigns, join me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. I've got lines open right now at 888-573-8372. And one of the things that Bob Barr commented on when he was before the Judiciary Committee that he used to serve on just a few days ago was that a recent poll shows that Americans put more confidence in the post office than they do in the Justice Department. And that's a really sad commentary, and I don't mean to denigrate the post office. I heard recently that their delivery rates on time have reached an all-time high. And good on you, post office. I'm all in favor of that. But think about that. That the credibility of the Justice Department has been shredded so badly under successive partisan attorneys general. I mean, Ashcroft looks like a pretty good guy now. Because in that dramatic scene in the hospital when he actually was, you know, had handed off his power as attorney general to James Comey, he mustered the personal something or other to sit up in bed and give a lecture to Gonzalez and Chief of Staff Andy Card. And we know that Ashcroft refused to sign a document that would have reauthorized the wiretapping and interception of communications of Americans. That said, Ashcroft testified recently on Capitol Hill And it was kind of embarrassing just to even think and watch what he had to say, because he was all over the place and, you know, really lacked a principled center to any of the positions that he advocated. But when you think about the breadth and depth of this, the U.S. attorney scandal, we know the outlines of it. We've talked to David Iglesias. We know what happened in New Mexico, where he was leaned on by powerful Republicans like Senator Domenici and Congresswoman Heather Wilson. And they were leaning on him to file phony charges against Democrats right in front of an election for political benefit. And Iglesias stood firm and said, I don't have the goods. I can't write the indictment. And we know that Karl Rove interfered in the politics of the state of Alabama. And despite his very carefully scripted denials, Mr. Rove's fingerprints are all over the indictment and subsequent conviction of Don Siegelman. And so we have a situation here where things really have spun out of control. And I think you know that I'm not a registered Democrat. I am a declined estate voter in California who does typically vote for Democrats. And I find it amazing that we have to turn to a freshly minted libertarian like Bob Barr to get support for our views of constitutional law and constitutional rule. Ben's on the line from Salinas. Good afternoon, Ben. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter.
Hi.
Was the contempt of Congress charges lodged against Rove today for his being above the law, don't have to appear, don't have to? Is it possible on the way out the door, this might sound a little crazy, is it possible under the Constitution for Mr. Bush to pardon his entire administration, including the upcoming hearings with Rove and hopefully maybe with Cheney? We got to know that realistically they're above the law, but can he really? I think he can, because those who say that he can't, who in the hell is going to stop him? Can he pardon Cheney right on down to Monica Goodling and
he can
pardon them all on the way out the door?
He can pardon everybody but himself.
And the power to pardon is totally
beyond.
Once they've been pardoned, you can't even visit the charges.
That's right.
They can be secreted away.
It is unfettered.
Okay.
And Poppy Bush showed it, because he offered pardons to Casper Weinberger, Richard Pearl, and a whole gaggle.
I think
Abrams, yeah.
Dexter.
There were five or six of them.
Henry Kissinger,
and they had not,
North.
Well, no, not Kissinger.
Well, you got to know he's in that group.
Well, okay, but in any case, you can pardon people even if they have not been indicted or convicted.
Now, to me, that seems ex post facto in reverse for a crime you might commit tomorrow.
That's right.
I mean, holy cow! I just can't see them letting get out the door with the Treasury and all the blood they've spilled, and now we're not even going to be able to ask, or we'll look more and more like we may never get a genuine, a complete American, honest 9/11 investigation. Is it possible that internationally Bush could be convicted of murdering Saddam Hussein, because he broke no American laws that we know of,
mm-hmm.
and in the month of Osama bin Laden?
Bugliosi makes a case, and I defer to him as an experienced prosecutor.
Absolutely.
He doesn't really use the Saddam issue. He basically says that Bush caused innocent people in the form of American soldiers to kill others.
Yeah.
And that he bears direct responsibility for that and therefore is culpable. And Bugliosi argues that the statute of limitations is unlimited on murder charges. And that that is what he sees as the only remaining way to pursue George W. Bush and bring him to justice.
Therefore, can we deliberately cause the death of Osama bin Laden? There's been no trial. He's not been found guilty, or he's been able to evidence.
Right, and we haven't indicted him for 9/11.
Exactly.
Thank you, Ben. I got to run to a break, and we're hoping to talk to Bob Barr if he checks in during the break. If not, you can call in, and we'll talk with you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Collins Show.
Take it home, baby. Been thinking about you, baby. My one desire, wrap my arms around you. Oh, baby, I wanna taste your lips. I wanna be your fantasy. Yeah.
And I got a couple of strangers that I'd like to dedicate this song to. If you were here, I'd kiss you all over.
Don't know what I'd do without you, baby. Don't know where I'd be. You're not just another. Every time I'm with you, baby, I can't believe it's true.
This one goes out to Natalie Real, who lives outside Missoula, Montana, and listens to the Peter B. Collins Show via podcast and on AM 930 on the weekends in Missoula. And she responded to our You Can Help. We're going to be at the Democratic National Convention the final week of August, live from Radio Row every day. And it costs us money, and we don't have it. So I put the word out on the website. There's a link there you can look at called You Can Help. And Natalie responded, and I want to thank you for a very generous contribution. And I also just heard from someone that I don't know, Jeff, who has an email address at yahoo.com, and he sent a contribution as well. So I really appreciate that. Does it say where Jeff is? He's in Ego, California. That's IGO. Well, he's on an ego trip, no doubt about that. But, Jeff, I really appreciate that. And anybody else who wants to help defray our expenses for the Democratic National Convention coverage, just log on to peterbcollins.com. And any amount is helpful. There's a PayPal link there. And also, if you want, you can mail in a check if that's easier for you. Not everybody has computers, and snail mail is attractive to some. And if you just want my mailing address, it's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. And I've had that P.O. Box for about 10 years now, and I still get mail for the previous tenant, former U.S. Senator S.I. Hayakawa. And boy, is it interesting. I got a fundraising letter from Pat Buchanan back in 1996, and Hayakawa had been dead for 3 or 4 years at that point. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to comment. It looks like we're not going to connect with former Congressman Bob Barr today, so we'll try to reschedule that, and we won't hold it against him. He is the Libertarian nominee for president, and he's probably out there making 150 fundraising phone calls today. You know what that's like. Earlier in the hour, we were talking about John McCain and the negative ads that he has launched against Barack Obama. The interesting thing about these ads, as we discussed with Paul Waldman of Media Matters, is that they're just pumping them out to the media. They're not actually spending cash money to put them on television, you know, on Entertainment Tonight or Nightline or even Jon Stewart. They make a token buy. As I understand it, the one spot that they ran where they dinged Obama for not visiting the troops in Germany and then followed that up with a shot of him visiting troops in Kuwait, that ad was paid to run exactly 5 times. And the rest is what we call free media, contributed by the mostly the cable news channels that play it over and over again on those evening shout shows. And our radio pal, Ed Schultz, had his staff announcer put together a little commercial about John McCain's recent messages. Let's listen to this.
Have you seen John McCain's ads? He's lying about Barack Obama's trip overseas.
He made time to go to the gym, but canceled a visit with wounded troops.
He's blaming Obama for high gas prices.
Who can you thank for rising prices at the pump?
And he's saying Obama would rather lose the war in Iraq just to win the election.
It seems to me that Senator Obama would rather lose a war in order to win a political campaign.
John McCain, quit acting like a warmonger and get out of the gutter. It's about approved by the Ed Schultz Show.
And I think that's really interesting because Ed Schultz, by the way, got dinged for calling McCain a warmonger on Larry King Live. And Ed is a tough enough guy that he's standing by his comment, and I stand by Ed on that. But what you just heard was, you know, very direct and honest about the extent to which the McCain campaign is lying. And I want you to contrast that with Michael Cooper. He's been assigned by the New York Times to write an analysis column called Political Memo. And we ripped apart the one he wrote last week where he kind of edged up to the criticisms of John McCain for misstating facts, oh, you know, like the border between Iraq and Pakistan or Czechoslovakia, which hasn't existed since 1993. And this week, he does take McCain on for going negative. But it's once again maddening because this guy, Cooper, uses very soft language to suggest that McCain may have lied or that the commercials may have been inaccurate. But you won't hear an explicit statement that this commercial included falsehoods or that it included things that were known not to be true by the campaign teams that put them together. So here's an example. Some of his lines of attack have been accused of being misleading. All right? The reporter cannot sit here and honestly tell you the statements are misleading. They have to say in passive voice without identifying the antecedent here, the lines of attack have been accused. Now, who did the accusing? We're not permitted to know that because that would allow somebody to explicitly make an accusation. And this is the kind of reporting that I find very frustrating in the corporate media in this country. And they are not willing to take on really either campaign when these kinds of things occur. I haven't seen an example of an explicit lie from an Obama commercial or an Obama campaign statement. But if it occurred, I would expect the media to pounce all over it. When McCain does it, they soften it, they explain it, they rationalize it, and then in a passive voice, they have unnamed people who may have criticized it. A lie is a lie. Can't we just say that? Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, we're going to take a trip to the Amazon rainforest and see what Texaco did.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Salmonella found on a farm in Mexico.
We've now got a confirmed positive in serrano peppers as well as jalapeno peppers. So both kinds of peppers have tested positive for the outbreak strain.
Tainted by scandal, the Israeli prime minister will step down.
He basically had lost the battle for public opinion. He'd lost the confidence of the Israeli public.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Food and Drug Administration has expanded its warning to include a second type of pepper, even as it narrows the focus of its investigation. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Government scientists say this could be the smoking gun in looking for the source of the salmonella that sickened more than 1,300 Americans. It was found in a serrano pepper in Mexico and in the irrigation water used on the farm where it grew. David Acheson of the FDA told Congress they're checking on how it may have spread from there to distribution centers that sent produce to U.S. stores. And in the meantime, he says Americans should not eat any fresh serrano or jalapeno peppers from Mexico.
These are fresh peppers. If they're, as before, if they're processed, cooked, or pickled, then they're not of concern.
Tomatoes are safe to eat, but early on, scientists say they may have been contaminated from this same source. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Kathy Means of the Produce Manufacturers Association hopes investigators confirm the source as soon as possible.
It is one thing that causes the outbreak, not all produce. And so the sooner we can get it narrowed down so that other produce items are not on the hook, as it were, the better off everyone is.
Mexican authorities have disputed suggestions that the outbreak originated in their country, but say they're working to confirm the FDA's finding. Now this.
Black Magic Tire Wet. Did they nail it on the name of this stuff for what? The magic it forms on your tires? It's kaboosh! Hey, you know what? Advanced Auto Parts nailed it on their offer. You get two 23-ounce bottles of Black Magic Tire Wet for $9 and save $2.96 on the deal. The offer ends August 30th, so get your wheels spinning over to Advance, buy some Black Magic, and shine up your car books. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
I have high cholesterol. Now I'm eating well and staying active. Guess what? Walmart is doing their part to lower my numbers, too. I can get a 3-month supply of my prescription for just $10. So instead of spending more time picking up my medicine, I spend more time picking up my grandkids.
Hi, Grandma.
The Walmart Pharmacy Prescription Program includes hundreds of popular medicines. A 90-day supply of prescription drugs is now $10. Up to a month's supply is still just $4. Save money, live better. Walmart. Restrictions apply. See Walmart.com or your pharmacist for details.
Political drama in Jerusalem. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, who's accused of lining his pockets during his political career, announced today that he will not run in his party's September 17th primary and will step down as soon as his successor forms a government. For the Bush administration, CBS News correspondent Robert Berger says this is not good news.
This comes at a really bad time for the peace process. Israel is involved in peace negotiations with the Palestinians and with Syria. And basically, you have a lame duck prime minister now for the next 2 months, which probably means that the peace process is not going to go anywhere.
The White House says President Bush spoke with Olmert just before the announcement and will continue to work closely with him while he remains prime minister. Like the weather, the presidential campaign is heating up. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the latest developments.
Most of the attacks today were the usual stuff.
Senator Obama says he's going to change Washington, but his solution is to simply make government bigger.
John McCain in Colorado, while his campaign released a new TV ad claiming Obama's focused only on building his popularity.
He's the biggest celebrity in the world.
Showing his huge crowd in Germany.
Is he ready to lead?
And also photos of Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. In Missouri, Obama shot back.
Well, I do notice that he doesn't seem to have anything very positive to say about himself, does he? He does. He seems to only be talking about me.
Dan Revive, CBS News.
It wasn't a good start to vacation for CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett. He flew out of New York's Kennedy Airport today as American Airlines' baggage handling system suffered a meltdown.
The captain said, you know, we're going to get out of here and head for Chicago. You're going to get there, but I can't make any guarantee whether your bag will get there or not.
He's still waiting for his luggage. American, which recently imposed fees for checked bags, blames a software problem. Luggage piled up at the terminal. Flights had to be canceled or delayed. Grace D'Souza didn't want to hear any excuses.
I need to have my bags. That's what I'm worried about. And I need to go on time, too, because I have to catch a cruise.
The airline has no estimate on when the problem might be fixed. It says technicians are working on it. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Black Magic Tire Wet. They nail it on the name of this stuff for what? The magic it performs on your tires? It's kaboosh! Hey, you know what? Advanced Auto Parts nailed it on their offer. You get 2 23-ounce bottles of Black Magic Tire Wet for $9 and save $2.96 on the deal. The offer ends August 30th, so get your wheels spinning over to Advance, buy some Black Magic, and shine up your car boots. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
For this summer's ultimate fun on the water experience, you need to get into a Sea-Doo personal watercrafter sport boat. For a very limited time, you can get no money down, no interest, and no payments until next season. Plus a gas card valued up to $2,000 based on model or a 3-year limited warranty. Hurry in to your local Sea-Doo dealer today for details. Sea-Doo, the good life just got better. Offer ends 8/21/08, subject to credit approval restrictions apply. See dealer for details or visit seadoo.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we're going to take a little journey to the Amazon rainforest and see what an American oil company has done. When you fuel up your vehicle, do you ever think about where that oil came from? And not just the cost, you know, the price you pay at the pump, but the cost to our environment. And the cost to indigenous people. whose lands have been exploited, denuded, and otherwise messed up, just so we can get our petrol.
Ready, steady, go!
Joining me this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, Randy Hayes. Randy, as I know the story, was a founder of the Rainforest Action Network, a longtime environmental activist. Randy, welcome to the program today.
Yeah, it's quite good to be here.
And you went on to also serve as the Director of Sustainability for Mayor Jerry Brown in Oakland. You did that for a few years?
I did that for a couple of years, and then I was also, for 5 years, President of the Commission on the Environment for the City of San Francisco.
Uh-huh. And what is your current task? I'm not up to speed on everything you're doing.
I just started working for a German-based environmental group called the World Future Council, which has a visionary renewable energy policy that they want to get passed in the United States. So I've got hired to work for the World Future Council.
Now, does that make you a foreign lobbyist? Do we have to register you somewhere?
I hope so. Let's really get into it. We want to get dirty. Let's get really dirty with the lobbyists.
And next to you is Lou DeMatteis. He is a photographer and was a news photog for many years for Reuters. And Lou, welcome to our program today.
Thanks, Peter. Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your travels in Central America. You covered the war in Nicaragua in the 1980s.
Yes, I did. I moved to Managua, Nicaragua in the beginning of 1985. Worked for about a year as a freelance photographer, shooting a lot for Time and Newsweek and magazines. And at the end of 85, I took a staff job with Reuters News Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I was staff for them based in Managua until the middle of 1990.
Okay. And while you were living there, did you, I imagine you took vacations and field trips and maybe went on assignments to other parts of Central and South America. And the book that we're going to talk about today is called Crude Reflections, and it is stunning and shocking. The photography is beautiful, but what it depicts is often quite ugly. What drew you into the work that led to this volume?
Well, after I moved back to the States in 1990, journalist who I had worked with in Nicaragua let me know about a pollution problem in the Ecuador and Amazon. And I had, up to that point, I knew that Ecuador produced oil, but I didn't know anything. I had actually traveled to Ecuador in 1988 to cover one of the elections there, but I had never been to the Amazon. And my friend let me know that there was a trip being planned. Some people in public health in the United States were looking into the problem. We're going to go do some testing. So I was fortunate in 92 to go with them on this trip. Actually, it was 1993. I went with this group and spent some time with them, and then went off on my own and did an investigation of what was happening. And that's when I ran into this incredible situation of oil pits burning in the Amazon and waste being poured directly into the rivers and unlined, open-aired waste pits. And,
well, but what's the problem with that? There aren't, like, people living there or anything, are there?
Well, actually, yes, there are people living there. The first people that it affected the most, what I saw was the system that had been set up by Texaco. Texaco Oil from the United States was the first oil company to discover commercial quantities of oil in the Amazon in Ecuador. And they actually, their first commercial well was pumping in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
Before that time, it was a roadless area. We would call it pristine Amazon rainforest. And the first groups that were really affected were five indigenous groups that lived in the area of the Texaco concession.
Mm-hmm. And Randy Hayes, when did you first become aware of this area of Ecuador and the impact of Texaco's oil exploration and extraction operations?
It was in the late 1980s that I met an Ecuadorian who was doing graduate work at UC Berkeley who started talking about this. And then a few years later, I got a letter in the mail on a hand typewriter in Spanish from an Amazonian chief from the Guajirani tribe down there. And one thing led to another, and I decided to go down. And I was actually captured by the tribes, so to speak,
really?
in a semi-friendly but quite serious way, and taken out to the different villages to talk to the elders out there of the men's group and separately with the women's group. And they wanted to find out how intent I was to get involved. But we were intent, and we were involved back then, and we were involved now. And I think Lou's made a major contribution with this book because it's going to shine the light of day on what Texaco and Chevron are involved in.
Yeah. Well, and there's an effort very clearly by Chevron to try to distance itself from these issues. They first claimed, well, we just bought Texaco, and this was part of the package. And they also blame the Ecuadorian government, and the chairman, you know, has written op-ed pieces and appeared in television interviews trying to defend their position. Randy, is it defensible? Does Chevron, as now the owner of Texaco, in your view, do they have full responsibility for the mess that Texaco created?
Well, we want them to take full responsibility because they should take full responsibility. Time will tell whether or not they do. But the demands of the native peoples down there are very clear. They don't just want a cash settlement. They want the mess cleaned up down there because this is still their homeland. They have to make a living, and they've got future generations to look out for. So we're just trying to do our part to help them.
Mm-hmm. And, Lou, in your book, which I mentioned, the photos are excellent, and, you know, this is a beautifully published book. But the stories it tells are really tragic and sordid. How do you describe to people, you know, in short form, and we're going to talk about some of the individuals who you profile in the book, but how do you describe the devastation that has occurred and the human impact that you've captured in these photographs?
Well, one thing we wanted to do with the book, I think unfortunately if you told someone, well, there was a big corporation in the Amazon oil corporation that ended up polluting the environment, unfortunately we wouldn't be too surprised. What we wanted to do is to show in pictures and in words what the effect is on the people who live there and basically tell an unknown story. So that's what we did. I worked with journalist Joan Krukowit and also some other people where we actually took testimonies from the people so that we can understand here how this pollution has, contamination has affected their everyday lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in many cases, these testimonies indicate that they were aware that the river that they were bathing in or getting their drinking water from was polluted. But they really didn't have a choice.
Well, there's two things there. Originally, they were not aware because they would see that the river had changed, and they would go to the oil company and they would ask them, you know, about it, and they were initially told that the water was not dangerous. And if the water was sudsy or it had a little film on it, to just push that aside and take the water that was underneath.
Oh, great.
And for years and years, story after story, people would tell us, yes, we used to bathe there, we used to wash our clothes there, we thought the water was okay. So that's one point. And as you point out, as they did find out, and actually the photographs I did in 1993 were used as part of a major educational campaign to educate the people, oftentimes they do not have sources of clean water. Because with the unlined waste pits, the water has seeped into... From the pits, the contamination has seeped into the water table, so even if people dig a well, that well water is apt to be polluted as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to take a break and then come back and describe some of the photographs in the book, the scenes that you are depicting, and the methods, what I would call shortcuts, that Texaco used to extract as much oil as cheaply as possible. And the residues that they left, these ugly open pits, are something that we need to look at as the legacy of Texaco's operation in the Ecuadorian portion of the Amazon rainforest. And if you have a question or comment, our guests are with us this entire hour. And you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. If you have a question or comment, give us a buzz and you can talk to our guests, Randy Hayes and photographer Lou DeMatteis. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the news. KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juk at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start things off in the Santa Cruz area. Bonnie Dune Road at Highway 1. A big tree down apparently across the entire roadway. Crews are on the scene working to get that moved out of your way. Highway 68 at Highway 1. It's actually home in Highway 68 on-ramp to northbound Highway 1. Two cars off to the shoulder. That accident's been out there for over an hour now. CHP is on the scene. We've also had reports of some very heavy traffic northbound 1 from Ocean Avenue down towards Camino Aguajito and Monterey. This due to several earlier crashes on Highway 1. Gilroy, North 101 after Maston Avenue. It's a metal rod sticking up in the second lane from the left. Watch out there. This is brought to you by SEIU Local 1000. SEIU 1000's independent study confirms what state lottery employees have said for years. Overhauling the lottery can increase revenue, protect vital services, and help close the budget gap. The governor's proposal is on track. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. 21 minutes past the hour. Lines are open if you'd like to talk to my guest, Randy Hayes, founder of the Rainforest Action Network, and photographer Lou DeMatteis. Lou has published this new book called Crude Reflections, and it is beautiful and shocking all at the same time. It includes a foreword from Trudy Styler and Der Stingel. That's Sting of used to be the front man for the Police, and he's out on another police annuity tour this summer. And Crude Reflections
is also the text is bilingual. It's printed in both English and Spanish, and it includes hundreds of gripping photographs from the Ecuadorian Amazon rainforest area, where Texaco has been exploring and exploiting the oil resources since the 1960s. And as we mentioned, Texaco was bought out or taken over by Chevron a few years ago, and so Chevron now bears responsibility for that legacy, such as it is. And Lou, I'm looking at this photograph on page 25, and it caption reads, "A worker siphons crude oil from a waste pit left by Texaco near Durango. This oil was later used to spread on roads in the area to keep the dust down." But in the text, it's pointed out that ordinarily this effluent, this ugly discharge, would be pumped back into the ground where the oil came from. But I presume it's cheaper just to leave it on the surface and fill up these huge pits and not worry about leaching into the groundwater and otherwise polluting the ecosystem at the expense of natives.
Well, that's correct, Peter. In fact, in the United States, the system that Texaco used in Ecuador would be illegal in all throughout the United States. You have to re-inject the waste, the effluents, and the chemicals used to get the oil out of the ground. You have to re-inject those back into the ground. What Texaco decided to do was to make a little more money and not put those systems in place, and instead dump the polluted waters and oil into the environment.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine an oil patch person would say, well, they might have one of those, and that you're just one of those environmental wackos who wants to exaggerate, but there are 627 of these pits in the area that you surveyed, and according to records, there were some 1,000 that were built, or not necessarily built, but just created.
Yeah, there's estimated that there were about 1,000. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, Randy Hayes, what does that mean? What happens with this gunk when it's just collected in pools on the surface?
Well, it's a toxic nightmare. And there's all these heavy metals and other toxic elements in that stuff. And even saying that they wanted to put it on the roads to keep the dust down was a deflection from the real truth, because it wasn't so much about keeping the dust down as again, increasing the short-term profits of the operation. And they did that at the expense of the rainforest itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shouldn't be completely chagrined by this situation, though, and remember that about 70% of the Amazon is still intact,
mm-hmm.
right? And though Texaco / Chevron has destroyed a large chunk, there's still a lot down there to save. And the stuff can be cleaned up to a semblance that people in the tribes can continue to live there and raise their children and future generations down there, and we have to help them do that.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the human impact. There are cancer clusters. There are birth defects that occur. I'm now looking at a photograph of a 9-year-old boy who's showing his deformed hands. His right hand, the thumb is missing the thumbnail and the whole last section. And on his left hand, his third and fourth fingers are merged into what you would call a birth defect. Lou, how common is this?
Well, unfortunately, Peter, it's very common. And it was interesting, when I went down in 1993, I spoke with a doctor who worked for the Ecuadorian Ministry of Health, and he told me at that time they were starting to see a lot of skin rashes and that type of thing, but he said in another 10 years there was going to be an epidemic of cancers and other health problems. Now think about it, a pregnant woman drinking this type of polluted water, this is one of the reasons why there are so many birth defects.
And here is Juana Apollo leaving the cemetery in La Andina, where her father, brother, and sister are buried, all of whom died of cancer. And these are anecdotal, but when you see all the anecdotes in the book, you come away with the strong sense of the damage that has been done and the true human cost. Let's take a call. Here's Grant in Pacific Grove. Grant, listening on KRXA. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had a question, though. Once a water table has been thus fouled, how the heck do you ever really clean it up? I mean, is there a known way to do this?
Randy?
Well, if the source is of what's fouling it is cutting off, that's the first thing, of course, you do. And in the cases of some of the aquifer systems, they will flush themselves out. Others do not, and they're pretty much destroyed forever.
Can you pump out of them, filter it, and then pump it back in, diluting the parts per million or something?
You can at a rather huge cost.
Well.
And we're talking, you know, in the billions of dollars in terms of hundreds of billions of dollars in terms of the real cleanup costs that it would take down there. And that's getting the attention of the Chevron executives.
Well, hence, that's why they don't want to take responsibility, obviously, then.
Well, that's clearly a part of it, yes. Economics is probably the major driver, of course, in all phases of this, in the corners that they cut that resulted in the pollution, and now in their attempts to wriggle out of responsibility.
I mean, as long as we allow people to pollute for free, and that's what the capital market free trade corporate structure is allowed to do in far too many cases, we're going to see these kinds of problems. So ultimately, in terms of a long-term strategy, we've got to figure out how to ecologize the economic systems of the planet.
There's that, but I was wondering, is there a global sort of Superfund type of project structure to go around cleaning up anything?
Nice idea. Have you talked to Soros about that, Grant?
I'll get right on that.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. We're going to take a break and return with Randy Hayes, founder of Rainforest Action Network, and photographer Lou DeMatteis. His new book, Crude Reflections, is something you've got to see, and it's at City Likes Bookstore in San Francisco. We'll give you details on how you can get the book if you're outside of San Francisco coming up after the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You don't know what you got till it's gone. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Like other parts of the country, Seattle has suffered from the slowing economy, but it didn't hit home until Starbucks announced it would cut 1,000 jobs and close 600 cafes. Not only that, but 7 of the doomed cafes are right here in the city. The worst coffee crisis to hit Seattle since they took the nipples off the Starbucks logo. It was like they'd amputated a leg from the Space Needle. You see, where in other cities people might smell of perfume or sweat, here we smell of Pike Place Roast. It embeds itself in your clothing. It's how we recognize strangers. They just don't smell right. And yet Seattle has had a love-hate relationship with Starbucks. The first few were okay, but then they took the nipples off the logo, started expanding and forcing out the independent coffee shops, and became just another corporate spawn. That's why Starbucks windows were prime targets in the WTO riots. And yet now, look at this. I met a woman from Seattle's anti-corporate, countercultural 15th Avenue neighborhood who had collected over 1,200 petition signatures to keep the 15th Avenue Starbucks open as an irreplaceable neighborhood refuge. Almost as if it were a threatened wetland. Even though there's another Starbucks all of 739 feet away. Yes, even when you have a love-hate relationship with the business, to have it taken from you stings. That's what's been happening in America. Coffee, fast food, gas, free baggage checking, as they slowly disappear, we'll wax nostalgic about things we never thought we'd miss, even if they were corporate spawn. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue our little radio journey here. It is theater of the mind, you know. Through the Ecuadorian portion of the Amazon rainforest, looking at the devastation caused by an American-based multinational oil company. Once upon a time, it was Texaco, then Chevron Texaco, and now it's just Chevron again. Maybe they could merge with AOL and take that name brand. We continue with Randy Hayes from the Rainforest Action Network and Lou DeMatteis. And I want to spell Lou's name, DeMatteis. In a moment, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of this new book, rich with photographs and stunning, and displaying the depravity of this rape of the landscape, Crude Reflections, it's called. And Lou, you wanted to finish up a point. We were talking with Grant about cleanup processes, and you had a comment before the break there.
Well, yes, Chevron is even arguing that these waste pits, so you see soft pictures of them in the book, are not even that dangerous or toxic. And I just wanted to make the point, if we had something like that existing here in the U.S., it would immediately be designated as a Superfund cleanup site. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't even be a question of having to do any investigation or testing. When you see standing oil, that's a means for right away to designate the site. And one other thing I would add.
I wish that had a lot of meaning. Certainly to designate it as a site indicates that pollution has occurred, but the way the use of the Superfund has unraveled, it's never been properly funded, and under the Bush administration, enforcement has gone out the window. So.
No, unfortunately, that's true, Peter. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Lou, how can people get a copy of this powerful new book?
Well, first of all, I want to really thank my publisher, City Lights Books in San Francisco. I had problems getting this book published. I went to a publisher that had done a couple other books of mine, and quite honestly, they were afraid of Chevron.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid Chevron would make it difficult for them. City Lights really stepped up and had the courage to publish the book. I'm very thankful of that, and I encourage people to go to City Lights, www.citylights.com. Right on the home page, you will see the cover of the book, and click on that. It'll take you to the Crude Reflections page, and City Lights is selling the book at a 30% discount, and you can get it online. And there's also links to all sorts of articles about the case, the link to a website where you can see photographs from the book, and it's quite a good they've done quite a good job on the website. Mm-hmm. But it's www.citylights.com.
Okay, great. Citylights.com on the web. And now I'd like to take a moment here to just read one of these testimonies. And I referred to this woman a few minutes back, Juana Apollo. And I'm just going to read her comments. I've lived here in the Amazon for 20 years. I'm a cook at the San Francisco oil camp. My father, Manuel Ignacio Apollo, died in 1992 of skin cancer at 68. His first symptom was that he had a little sore below his eye. He had two operations, lost his eyesight. The doctor said the cancer had spread, and when it went to his brain, he would die. When he got sick, we had a family meeting with all 10 of us brothers and sisters, and we chipped in to pay for his treatments. My sister, Carmen Apollo, died when she was 44. She had a tumor, and the doctor said it was uterine cancer. They operated, but she didn't last a year. She was a single mother and the eldest of us all. My brother, Saul, died of stomach cancer when he was 49. They operated, but the tumor was too big. It must have been the contamination that killed him. My husband, Saul Apollo Ramirez, and I live near the four Texaco wells, all upriver from our house. About a mile away is a big Texaco waste pit. Our family drank from this river and washed our clothes in it. Sometimes we'd see oil in the river, but they told us it wasn't polluted. My husband died of stomach cancer after suffering for almost 4 years. When he grew thin, we went to the Solca Cancer Hospital in Quito, but they told us he couldn't be saved. He was in the last stage. This disease has been horrible. We came home to the Amazon, and 15 days later, he died. And Randy Hayes, as you hear these testimonies, it has to hit home because you shared with me just before we started our conversation today that you recently had a bout of stomach cancer and had surgery. How does that connect you with the suffering that you see going on in other parts of the world?
Well, it's literally gut-wrenching. I mean, your heart does go out to these people. They're suffering so much down there. But they've got such a proud, courageous resolve to do something about it, and that helps one endure the suffering that they're going through. And we have to help them out with that. You know, Chevron's based here in the United States. They can be better held accountable here in the United States. They should also be held accountable in the Ecuadorian courts. Chevron won't take this easily. They'll be applying pressure on the Ecuadorian government and trying to demean the process and the legal structure down there in the courts. But I've been very impressed with what I've learned about the society of Ecuador and the culture and the ability of the native and non-native people to live in relative harmony down there. It's very impressive.
And what is the capability of the government to take Chevron on? Do they have standing and, you know, can they, for example, take efforts to sanction facilities there or limit the economic activity as a way of penalizing them?
Well, they have standing, certainly within Ecuador, to take on Chevron and to hold them accountable. They've been through a lot of the machinations of this issue of standing and tried to get standing in the United States, but ultimately... these transnational companies feel like they are without country. You know, they're operating around the world, and we have to ensure that they're held accountable in all of the places where they're operating.
Mm-hmm. Lou, what's your own take on corporate responsibility and the way Chevron has tried to shirk any, you know, or at least some of its responsibility for the Texaco legacy that it took on when it merged with Texaco?
Well, they don't want to shirk some of the responsibility. They want to shirk all of the responsibility.
Okay, I just wanted to be fair in case I was wrong. But
yeah.
they want out of just everything they can, right?
Yes, they'll claim on the one hand it's not contaminated. They'll claim on the other hand that they've cleaned it up. They'll claim on the other hand that it's another oil company's fault, the Ecuadorian government's fault. We talked earlier when Randy was saying, well, you know, they're responsible. They're actually legally responsible. They knew when they took over Texaco that this problem existed in the Amazon. They were told by the people that were already involved in the legal case against Texaco, so they knew exactly what the situation was there.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a matter, regardless of the legal question, it's an ethical question. What Texaco did was unethical, and I think the ethical thing to do is for Chevron to clean it up. So legally, I think they're responsible. I think the court in Ecuador is going to find them responsible.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for the verdict, but I believe the court will find them legally responsible, and I think ethically they're absolutely responsible to clean up the environment.
And Randy Hayes, a couple of months back when Chevron was having its annual shareholders meeting, the folks from Amazon Watch coordinated, I think, some interesting grassroots efforts and also got some good publicity out about this responsibility that Chevron has in taking over Texaco. And Atossa Soltani is the founder of Amazon Watch. Tell us a little bit about her and that organization and what you think my listeners can do to try to support the interests of the people in Ecuador and hold Texaco Chevron responsible?
Well, it certainly could be that the listeners out there hold some shares in Chevron, in which case I would encourage you to get in touch with Amazon Watch. I imagine their website is just amazonwatch.org. And let them know if you're a major shareholder or even a minor shareholder, you have a right to be part of that voice. And indeed, Amazon Watch and Rainforest Action Network and lots of groups banded together at the annual shareholders meeting to make sure that this is not buried under the rug, that they're confronted with this. And we brought people from the Amazon, from the Ecuadorian rainforest itself, to speak on their own behalf.
Now, Randy, as an advocate, you've had some very interesting meetings and agreements that you've reached with corporate polluters in the past. I remember you took on Burger King and educated them about their impact on the Amazon by all of the beef that they were pulling out. And I'm just curious, as you compare Chevron with some of these other corporate types that you've gone up against, do they have a stronger defense system, and are they more resistant than some of the others that you've challenged?
It's obviously tough to take on the oil companies. I mean, they're giants, but giants can be slayed. We know this, you know. And I think Tosa Soltani and her troops are giant slayers, heroic individuals, very courageous. And the people of Ecuador and the native tribes, especially, are really courageous. They're drawing a line in the sand, and they're simply saying, you know, this has got to be dealt with, and no more oil extraction from their tribal lands. We've got a chance to win here. Burger King, you know, we wrote to them, and we tried to call them on the phone, and we got the corporate cold shoulder, right? So when you don't have political power or financial power, you can organize people power, and that's what we did. And in 18 months, we brought, you know, Burger King onto bended knees, and they canceled a $35 million contract buying rainforest beef from Costa Rica, right? And that went on to other victories with, you know, Mitsubishi and Home Depot and Citibank and others. And you know, how well they implement these agreements, well, it's always a case-by-case example. But we have to do our part to get out there and get in their face and give them some of the tough love that they need.
Mm-hmm. That's Randy Hayes, and also with us is Lou DeMatteis. And Lou, talk a little bit about the people you photograph for Crude Reflections, these natives who are members of different tribes in Ecuador, and their approach to these problems, and I just imagine there's a kind of gringo attitude that the oil companies think that these are just, you know, dumb natives, uneducated, living on the land, and that we can exploit them, we can mislead them and take advantage of them, take their oil, and not really compensate them or correct the damage that we've done.
Well, unfortunately, Peter, it reminds you of Western movies in where we see, or what actually happened historically in the United States, what the U.S. did to the native peoples of what is now the United States. I mean, I heard stories, even the type of thing, like I talked with the Kofan people, and they had a big major chief who went for a big powwow. This is all hearsay, so I'm not making legal charges, but went with a big powwow with Texaco early on, and he never returned alive. They got his body back. Now, you hear a lot of the thing of alcohol being introduced to the indigenous people that they didn't have before, and lands that were theirs that were just basically taken over and told, you know, well, we're here, try to do something about it, that type of thing.
And Lou, did you ever see military contractors or private security forces, mercenaries, as we've heard reported in Nigeria?
Well, in Ecuador, it's interesting that the oil companies have actually contracted the Ecuadorian military.
Mm.
It's no longer, they're no longer able to do this now because it was really been brought to light. But even as recently as a couple of years ago, when the Texaco, when the Chevron people would come in for the trial, all the security was provided by the Ecuadorian army, and they were actually living in housing that was on an Ecuadorian army base.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Ecuadorian army has gotten a lot of financial benefit from the oil exploitation. But in the case of Ecuador, it's actually the Ecuadorian army that's been involved very much with the oil development.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. We're going to take a break and continue in a moment. If you have a question or comment, there's room for another call or two. Randy Hayes and photographer Lou DeMatteis are my guests. And Lou's book is called Crude Reflections. Visit citylights.com, and you can order it for yourself.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start things off in the Santa Cruz area. Bonny Doon Road at Highway 1. A big tree down apparently across the entire roadway. Crews are on the scene working to get that moved out of your way. Highway 68 at Highway 1. It's actually Holman Highway 68 on-ramp to northbound Highway 1. Two cars off to the shoulder. That accident's been out there for over an hour now. CHP is on the scene. We've also had reports of some very heavy traffic northbound 1 from Ocean Avenue down towards Camino Aguajito and Monterey. This due to several earlier crashes on Highway 1. Gilroy, North 101 after Maston Avenue. It's a metal rod sticking up in the second lane from the left. Watch out there. This is brought to you by SEIU Local 1000. SEIU 1000's independent study confirms what state lottery employees have said for years. Overhauling the lottery can increase revenue, protect vital services, and help close the budget gap. The governor's proposal is on track. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you today by the Organic Wine Company. Check out their special offer at ecowine.com/Peter B, and we'll pay for the shipping.
There's a fight to make ends meet. Keep the man up on his feet. Holding down his job.
kind of show he can't be bought. Who takes every kind of people?
We continue our conversation about the Amazon rainforest and an American oil company's despoiling of that pristine area. With me, Randy Hayes, Rainforest Action Network, and photojournalist Lou DeMatteis. And his new book, Crude Reflections, is a powerful testament about what Texaco did there and what Chevron is responsible for. And Lou, during the break, you were telling me a little bit about an effort by some of the people in Ecuador, and it's called the Yasuni group. Is that right? Yasuni campaign?
Well, it's the Yasuni campaign. And, oh, just let me mention that if you do purchase the book, we've tried to make this a model of how you can get involved. So we have a whole section in the back which says take action. Mm. So we tell you the groups to get in touch with and what is happening, and it's a very good resource.
Great. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And one of the campaigns we talk about is the Yasuni campaign, which is there is a place in eastern Amazon in Ecuador, the Yasuni National Park, and it contains, it is called the mother of the Amazon. And it's one of the most biodiverse areas in the world. In fact, there in 2.5 acres of the Yasuni, there are more species of trees than the entire continent of North America. And underneath the Yasuni forest, there's 1 billion barrels of oil. It's the largest untouched reserve in Ecuador. So there's a lot of pressure to develop that. What the Ecuadorian government has said, along with indigenous peoples that live there and the Ecuadorian people themselves, there's a huge multifaceted campaign to leave that oil in the ground. And what Ecuador has been asking in return is we will leave it in the ground. We'd like to get 50 cents on the dollar. So in other words, if they pumped it, then they got $300 million a year for $150 million, they would leave that oil in the ground, not cut down any of the trees, and not to spoil this biodiverse area that really is a resource for all of humankind.
Mm-hmm. And Randy, help us understand, as Americans, many of us, I've never been to the rainforest, and I have an appreciation for it in terms of nature and beauty, and also its contribution to the ecosystem well beyond its own area. But help us understand how all these are connected, and why, beyond the cancers and the ugly topography that we see, that this has an impact on you and me.
Well, the rainforests are the crown jewels, really. I mean, think of the electric blue morpho butterflies flitting about, and think of the red howler monkeys jumping through the trees and jaguar tracks in the mud, in many cases all around you down there. These are wild, beautiful places. There are only 4 great forests left on planet Earth at this point. The mighty Amazon itself, the Central Africa and the Congo rainforest, Siberian rainforest is 22% of the world's remaining forests, and then the great forests in the Pacific Northwest across Canada, the boreal forest. Those are the 4 big forests left on planet Earth, and we really must save them. They're important to the future and future generations. Deforestation accounts for somewhere between 18 to 22, maybe even as much as 24% of the annual greenhouse gas emissions, right? So the climate change is not just from the burning of fossil fuels, it's also from deforestation, a major, major contributor. So if you want to work on solving climate change, you need to have saving forests as part of that package. And it's great work, and I encourage everybody to get down there and to see the rainforest. And Ecuador is a really wonderful place to visit.
Mm-hmm. Now, just take a minute here, because the court has finally ruled in the case of Pacific Lumber, and they're going to be cutting down almost in half the yields, the board foot yields that were occurring under the Hurwitz ownership. Do you see this deal as progress for my listeners in Humboldt County? I'm sure they're very interested in your comment.
Well, reducing the annual yield is, of course, a step in the right direction. But when you're talking, you know, where that's old growth forest, you know, we have taken too much. Old growth forest is a non-renewable resource. We ought to think of it in those terms. It's like extracting gold out of the body of the earth. Once you pull it out, it's gone forever. And that's really true for old growth forest. So I say, you know, zero cut on old growth.
Okay. And Lou, what would you like to add here that I haven't asked you about based on your experiences there and what you've captured in the book?
Well, I think it's really important that people take heart in what's happening in Amazon and what the people of Ecuador are doing. I think it's important not to lose hope. And I think, you know, Peter, the title of this book is Crude Reflections, Oil Ruin and Resistance in the Amazon Rainforest. So I just want to make a point that this resistance is very much alive. There are tribes, indigenous groups in other parts of the Amazon that have not been developed at oil. They don't want oil development in there. They're willing to take up arms to keep it from happening. And it's just important that we realize that we're all in this together. And I had some incredible conversations with indigenous in Ecuador who really, even though they weren't traveled around the world, they recognize that they're trying to, what they're trying to preserve in their rainforest is a benefit for all of humankind.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do appreciate the resistance part and also the activism page here in the back of the book. Amazon Watch is at amazonwatch.org. Randy did that from memory, but it's true. Amazonwatch.org. And there's another organization that I'm just loosely familiar with, but what I've seen I'm very impressed with, and that's the Pachamama Alliance. And I encourage you to go to Pachamama, P-A-C-H-A-Mama, Pachamama.org, and take a look at what they're doing, because they are trying to help indigenous people on their own terms instead of trying to impose a first world solution or trying to rev people up to a first world economy. They are looking at the situation there and trying to help people, as I said, on their own terms. And from what I know of their work, I'm very impressed, and I think it's worth a look for you. Randy Hayes, Lou, thank you very, very much, both of you. It's great to have you on the program, and I appreciate the work you've been doing.
Great feedback here.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
Okay, Lou DeMatteis and Randy Hayes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening to this hour of our program. If you want to share it with a friend, the podcast is available. Grab the link on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. And Joshua Emerson Smith is our assistant, too.
This is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. For food safety investigators, this could be the breakthrough they've been working for. Dr. Dean Acheson of the Food and Drug Administration says the strain of Salmonella that sickened more than 1,300 people has been found on a farm in Mexico.
Both the water used for irrigation and a sample of serrano peppers from the same farm that matched the outbreak strain of Salmonella St. Paul. So this is a key breakthrough.
The FDA has been criticized for its handling of this outbreak, but this news gets praise from the Consumer Federation's Chris Waldrop.
It's often very rare to be able to trace an outbreak back to a particular farm. So in this case, you should commend the FDA for being able to do that.
The FDA has expanded its warning against raw jalapeno peppers from Mexico to include raw serranos. The House late today approved a sweeping measure to make consumer products safer. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
It's the toughest consumer protection law in decades, setting new standards for toys and other products and beefing up the power and budget of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Texas Republican Joe Barton says the bill bans all lead paint in toys, stops the use of chemicals called phthalates in plastic products used by babies and young children, and gets rid of dangerous three-wheeled all-terrain vehicles.
It is a very, very good bill. It's a strong bill. It will protect America's children.
After the overwhelming House vote, the measure is expected to be quickly passed in the Senate. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
On a party-line vote of 20-14, the House Judiciary Committee has found former presidential advisor Karl Rove in contempt for ignoring a congressional subpoena.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, which denounces the committee vote on Rove as partisan antics. Press Secretary Dana Perino says it's the same old, same old. She suggests the nation would be better served if the committee were working on energy legislation or a bill to implement the Supreme Court ruling about terror suspects at Guantanamo Bay.
The panel subpoenaed Rove as part of its investigation into political meddling at the Justice Department. The White House says President Bush will work closely with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert as long as he remains in office. Olmert announced today that he'll step down sometime after September 17th once his party chooses a successor. Olmert denies wrongdoing, but Israeli police are investigating allegations that earlier in his political career he took thousands of dollars in cash and gifts. CBS News correspondent Seth Doan reports high gasoline prices are having an impact on people who don't drive anywhere, those who are homebound with illness or injury.
Home health care workers, particularly in rural parts of the United States, have to drive long distances to see their clients, and they fill up their gas tanks like everyone else does, and they are feeling a real pinch. We talked with a couple of home health care workers who have to drive upwards of 400-500 miles a week, and they say the price of gas is killing them.
Price of crude oil rose to $126 a barrel today, but the Dow jumped 186 points. This is CBS News.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 25% too. From July 31st through August 4th, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. Save up to 25% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paint, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. At Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi! This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup, right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
To receive MSN Direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
It's odorless and colorless, which is what makes carbon monoxide such a lethal killer. WCCO Radio's Eric Eskela reports on a new safety standard in Minnesota.
Starting August 1st, carbon monoxide alarms are required in all single-family homes in Minnesota. The law was prompted by cases such as that of the family of David Griggs, whose 3.5-year-old daughter Hannah died after exposure to a buildup of carbon monoxide in the family home.
At the time, we had smoke detectors, more than we needed, but we just didn't realize the need for a carbon monoxide detector.
Next year, the devices will be required in existing multi-unit dwellings in Minnesota. Eric Eskela for CBS News, St. Paul.
Fire gutted a 17th-century stone barn in Plumstead, Pennsylvania that was recently converted into a home for book dealer Barry Cavanaugh and his artist wife, Peg. Their collection included many works of art and 30,000 rare books. The 64-year-old Cavanaugh collapsed on the lawn as he watched his life's work go up in flames. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Black Magic Tire Wet. They nail it on the name of this stuff for what? The magic it performs on your tires? It's kaboosh! Hey, you know what? Advanced Auto Parts nailed it on their offer. You get two 23-ounce bottles of Black Magic Tire Wet for $9 and save $2.96 on the deal. The offer ends August 30th, so get your wheels spinning over to Advance, buy some Black Magic, and shine up your car boots. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
I have high cholesterol. Now I'm eating well and staying active. Guess what? Walmart is doing their part to lower my numbers, too. I can get a 3-month supply of my prescription for just $10. So instead of spending more time picking up my medicine, I spend more time picking up my grandkids.
Hi, Grandma.
The Walmart Pharmacy Prescription Program includes hundreds of popular medicines. A 90-day supply of prescription drugs is now $10. Up to a month's supply is still just $4. Save money, live better. Walmart. Restrictions apply. See Walmart.com or your pharmacist for detail.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This in today to the Peter B. Collins Show, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is going to resign.
From the heavens, it was easy to tell. It was love from above that could save me from hell. She'd fire in her soul, it was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance. Every soul in the room gave me time with her hands. And we say, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. And the voices rang like the angels sing.
It's time for the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and all my lines are wide open for you right now. You know the number? 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I want to talk about American oil companies despoiling the rainforest and causing people to get sick and die in Ecuador. You want to talk about our conversation earlier today about John McCain and his negative advertising? Well, that's all up for grabs, or something you may want to introduce. Lines open for you. And for our listeners on KGOE in Eureka, you better get on the line soon, because baseball is coming your way in the next 15 minutes or so. The Crabs will be on the air for the remainder of our broadcast window today. And you can switch over online if that's available to you. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. But Eureka, you can weigh in on anything that's on your mind. And in particular, if you want to talk about the court-ordered settlement there in the Pacific Lumber case. The family that founded the Gap clothing store, the Fishers, have purchased that, and they're setting up the new lumber company, promising to cut down only half as many trees as Hurwitz did. And let me know if you think that's progress, and if this is stable for the forestry workforce there in Humboldt County. And later this hour, we're going to be talking with Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. He'll be with us on the half hour, and we're going to check in with him on a number of issues. Tomorrow is the day that Governor Schwarzenegger is threatening to impose a wage cut on the state workforce. He says it's to conserve cash because of the lack of a new budget, and that he's going to bump everybody back to $6.50 an hour. Now, he was planning to impose that this past Monday, and he said because of some progress in the negotiations between the leaders there in Sacramento that it may not be necessary, but the threat remains on the table, and we'll get a comment from the Lieutenant Gov on that a little bit later this hour. So in the meantime, I'd love to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And in case you weren't listening to the first portion of the program today, I just want to take a minute or two to describe and let you hear the audio from this new negative commercial from the campaign of John McCain. And the tactics of the McCain campaign drew a nasty editorial critique from the New York Times today entitled Low Road Express. And they're very critical of the messages coming out of the campaign, the way McCain has questioned the patriotism of Obama with his line about, well, he's willing to lose a war to win an election. And that's just one of the scurrilous attack themes that the revved-up McCain machine has been pumping out lately. Now, here is a commercial, and in the beginning, the visuals that you can't see on the radio are pictures of Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. And what you're about to hear is a slime of Barack Obama by calling him a celebrity, making him out to be a lightweight. And to put Britney Spears and Paris Hilton in a political commercial is, I think, a new low. But after you hear this, we have some actual political commentary from Britney Spears, and I think it was before she went into rehab one of those times.
He's the biggest celebrity in the world.
But is he ready to lead? With gas prices soaring, Barack Obama says no to offshore drilling and says he'll raise taxes on electricity. Higher taxes, more foreign oil.
Let's pander.
That's the real Obama.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Well, it shows just how desperate McCain is that he'll do anything, including hug Bush or deal with the agents of intolerance, the Christian right that he used to decry. Now, I want to thank a listener who is a Vicki Armstrong, who emailed me with a link to progressiveaccountability.org. And up on the homepage right now, they have this video clip, which features excellent political commentary from Britney Spears.
Honestly, I think we should just trust our president in every decision that he makes, and we should just support that, you know, and be faithful in what happens.
Do you trust this president?
Yes, I do.
Do you have confidence in the president and his national security team to lead the war at this stage?
I do. I do. I have confidence in the president, and I believe that he is well aware of the severity of the situation.
That's McCain on Meet the Press in 2006, and Britney Spears on, I don't know what she was on. I'll leave that to her doctors to tell us. And also from earlier today, I want to replay this clip quickly because our radio friend Ed Schultz had his announcer put together this piece about the recent comments coming from the McCain campaign. Go. Play. I'm pressing play. 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 All right, I guess it's not going to work. 888-5, Peter B., your calls and comments are welcome here in the Free Speech Zone. And up first, it's Pete and Carmel by the sea. Hello, Pete.
How are you doing, Peter? How is everything?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
The subject today is oil, principally American oil.
Yeah.
Now, I've you know, studied this a little bit over the years, and just as a hobby, and everything that I see seems to say this. Mr. Lundberg, who does the Lundberg Letter, I think his daughter has now taken over for him, basically said America does not have enough oil to be oil independent. We don't have it. Of course, as you know, the Republicans say, yes, we do, but the number one oil analysts seem to say, no, we don't.
Well, and if we look at this, if you go back 30 years, I had hair, and Jimmy Carter was the president, and he vowed that we were going to wean ourselves from foreign oil. And since then, there was an attempt made while Carter was still president. Reagan came in and just overturned that. And since then, we have crept up and up to where I think we're now at almost 70%. Of the oil we consume comes from outside the United States.
That's
and
very true.
Our dependence is a critical problem. It's an economic problem. It's an environmental problem. And we aren't facing it. We want to, you know, some people are prying their fingers off those gas-guzzling SUVs and selling them for 10% of what they paid for them. But by and large, Americans are not making major changes in their consumption of energy as a result of the price increases and our expanding awareness of the real impact of our dependence and our consumption.
Very true. Also, if I can state this, the Republicans seem to tell us that if we just drill, our oil is going to be cheap. And everything that I've heard is American oil is not cheap. American oil takes a lot of money to refine. It's very dirty. It's full of sulfur, unlike Middle East oil that's not. You know, so years ago I heard an oil man, I forget his name, somebody called up and asked, when will American oil be profitable enough to for our own consumption?
Right.
And he said, when gas goes to $5 a gallon. That was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So if we're going to pay $1 or $2 a gallon for gas for American oil, I don't see that happening.
Well, Pete, first of all, I want to comment on something you mentioned a moment ago. This is an opportunity for the Republicans and the corporate interests in this country. And I don't get any payments from the Naomi Klein Promotion Foundation, but I recommend her book, Shock Doctrine, because she describes what she calls disaster capitalism. And that's where an opportunity arises, such as our sharp increase in the cost of gasoline at the pump. And, you know, they seize this and manipulate enough Americans into believing that if we just give more leases to the oil companies, that they will produce more, that the supply will increase, and our costs will go down. And that's bogus, because the oil companies have manipulated the market already with the leases that they have. We know that they're not exploiting every tract that they have rights to, whether it is onshore in California, Texas, or Oklahoma, or offshore in the Gulf of Mexico, or in these tracts that they have their eye on off the coasts of Florida and California. And so the Republicans who are promoting all this are very aware that this will not increase production in the short term. It will not increase supply to the point that prices will go down. And it is just a way of exploiting this moment of opportunity for the benefit of the people who paid for the party.
That's very true. And let's not forget the Alaska pipeline that was supposed to make us energy independent. When prices, Middle East prices dropped, they wound up selling the oil to Japan. We never got any of it.
You're pretty well informed, Pete.
Yep, thank you.
You got any, do you got any oil stock? Oh, he's gone. Well, that's Pete and Carmel, and he knows what he's talking about in terms of oil. 888-5 Peter B. Let me know what's on your mind. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And if you're in Eureka, enjoy the ball game. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in Santa Cruz, Highway 1. Before Soquel Drive, it's actually near Aptos. It was originally reported near Morrissey Boulevard. Two cars now cleared off to the right-hand shoulder. CHP on the scene. Look for heavy traffic as you approach the area. Highway 17 northbound between Highway 1 and La Madrona Drive. We have reports of slow traffic, some kind of road work apparently going on in the right-hand lane. Going the other way, South 17 onto southbound 1. That's slow, of course, with stop-and-go traffic southbound 1 right now. Highway 101, getting your way through South San Jose down to Morgan Hill. You are seeing some brake lights right now. 68 currently checks in Stalin, accident-free. This report brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know what happens to a flood-damaged car when they're pulled from the water? Many are dried out, cleaned up, and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open for you in the free speed zone. 888-5 Peter B. I got a soft spot for the blues. And one of the high points of my life was a broadcast I did with John Lee Hooker. He was in his 80s, came into the studio with a guitar and a little amplifier, and started to play. And I can't mimic his voice or his locution. But I remember vividly he said, "I am the blues." Take it away, Johnny, and give us a refrain or two, will you? Actually, I have to check my liner notes. I think this may be Carlos Santana in a guest addition to the John Lee Hooker sound.
Blues in New York, all they were. Blues in New York, hip hop, all over the world, all over the world.
And joining me now is the blues man who's got a performance in Monterey this Friday night we want you to know about. He's just put out an album called Jewish Blues, Volume 1. Saul Kay joins us. Hi, Saul.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Now, was I correct? Was that actually Santana adding the guitar licks there for John Lee Hooker?
You are correct. That's from a record called The Healer,
which
is like one of his last records.
And, that's true.
You know, funnily enough, I actually got to play with John Lee Hooker for a hot second one time. It was a kick.
Tell me about it.
Well, my brother put on this crazy event called the Pop Culture Society when he graduated UC Berkeley, and he gave people lifetime achievement awards.
Mm-hmm.
And at this particular event, he gave John Lee Hooker, Dick Dale, Mick Fleetwood, and Ice-T lifetime achievement awards. So John Lee Hooker, Dick Dale, Mick Fleetwood get up there and play. And of course, me being a young, aspiring guitar player, had my guitar with me, and I convinced the bass player to let me come up and take a solo, and it was great.
Wow. Well, that's something you'll never forget.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, I've got a clip here. This is a tune of yours called Wade in the Water. Let's listen to get the right fader up here. Here we go.
See those children dressed in red. God's gonna trouble the water. It looks like the children that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. Come on away.
Now, were you riffing and jamming late one night in a cheap motel and there's the Bible as the only thing to read?
That has happened.
Yeah?
But that wasn't entirely the inspiration for this record.
Tell us about it.
Well, this record's called Jewish Blues Volume 1. And the concept behind the album, Peter, is that, you know, me being from the Jewish persuasion and being really influenced by the blues in my own personal life and musical life, I was thinking that, you know, the African-American blues tradition essentially comes out of the slavery experience in this country. Africans were brought over to the South, and they started singing and talking about their experiences, and that led to, you know, kind of field holler which is the initial blues, which then they eventually got guitars, and then they put that to lyrics, and then there was the call and response from voice to guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that brought us to jazz and R&B and pop and soul and funk and hip-hop and gave us just this incredible wealth of music. And that was out of a, 200-year slavery experience. And I was thinking that, the Jewish people have been slaves in a variety of countries for several hundred years throughout the history. And so I took a lot of cultural liberties and musical liberties by taking the Jewish slavery experience and some characters from the Old Testament and dipping them into the African blues tradition, essentially African slave experience.
Mm-hmm. And here's a taste of Jeremiah's blues. Starts off a little soft here. Let me... Oh, I see. I have the wrong fader up. That's the problem. Here we go.
You'll be my prophet, Jeremiah. I walk these dusty streets alone with a yoke around my neck.
And Saul Kaye, what's going on Friday night in Monterey?
Well, we are doing a live DVD recording at Wave Street Studios. If you guys are online, you can go to rtimes.com or livenetworks.tv
mm-hmm.
and check out more information. The show is at 8 o'clock. Doors are at 7. It's $15. And they're going to do a live webcast from livenetworks.tv. So if you guys are up there in Portland or in Missoula, Montana, which I need mm-hmm. broadcast to, which I love that city, by the way, or Eureka and whatnot, and you can't make it down. But if you can, we'd love to have you. There's only going to be 70 people allowed in to watch. It'll probably sell out. And we're going to make a live DVD and audio recording, which can be purchased right there. And I have a really amazing band. All these cats, it turns out, they live here now, but they were all from New York.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have guitar, bass, drums, and keys. And, so we're going to be recording a live record in Berkeley the night before and go down to Monterey to do the live DVD.
Oh, that's cool. So that's Wave Street Studios Friday night, and start time is?
Start time is 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Saul Kaye, spelled the way it sounds, S-A-U-L-K-A-Y-E. There's no tricky little initials there or anything. You've got a website, too, at saulkaye.com, where people can find out more.
That's right. And also, if they want to hear a little bit more about the Jewish blues, they can go to myspace.com/Jewish Blues Music.
Okay, great. Well, Saul, it's nice to meet you, and I love the serendipity that I put on some John Lee Hooker, and you had a story to tell. That's
beautiful.
That's a beautiful thing. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Peter. Have a great day.
All right, bye-bye. Coming up next, California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi joins me right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000-mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic healthcare approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, the governor's made a threat. And the threat is that tomorrow he's going to issue an order cutting the pay of state workers to $6.50 an hour. Yeah, that'll fix the budget problem, won't it? Joining me now is California's Lieutenant Governor, Democrat John Garamendi. And I don't actually know where John is, but I imagine that you're lined up with other state workers at a payday loan center, John.
Well, unfortunately, state workers are not trying to get their loans arranged. For those of us in elected office knew that when the budget was not signed by July 1st, we were not going to get paid. But this is just really foolishness. It has nothing to do with the budget. It has to do with the cash flow of the state. The controller says cash flow is not a problem until mid-September. And so this is, I just don't know. It doesn't make much sense.
Well, it's just a threat, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is, but it's a hollow threat because the controller says and legal counsels have said you got to pay them. The federal law requires that you pay the wages that you've agreed to pay,
mm-hmm.
And there are contracts involved. These are union contracts in most cases, and you know, there's also I think an issue here of what are you doing to these workers if you actually do pay them $6.55? That is $266 a week.
Yeah.
And I know the governor, or even certainly I don't know how I could possibly survive on $266 a week, which is, come on, governor. This doesn't make any sense at all.
That's pre-tax.
That's pre-tax, exactly.
Well, John, I mean, what we're seeing here is just, I think the governor is grasping at straws. He's confronting the limits of his power over his own party members in the Assembly and the Senate.
Well, the rumor around the Capitol is he's given up on them. And I don't think that's the right way to go about this. But the reality is that we California have been in this situation many, many times before. Reagan, Duke Magian, Wilson, very conservative governors in this situation. They did what they had to do, and we are in the same situation today. So follow the lead of those three conservative governors, and they did three things. They sought reform. They got some. They raised taxes, and they made cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the model is out there. The template print is out there. Let's get on with it. The state of California needs a budget, but more than that, we need to adequately finance the investment in the public sector.
Well, I think that's very important, and what we're seeing is various attempts to raid the transportation fund, to take money that is dedicated to highway construction and borrow that to try to cover the gap in the state budget. There's been an end run, an attempt on Rob Reiner's tobacco tax money. That's in an entity called First Five, which distributes that to county agencies to help children from birth to the age of five. And so they want to raid every piggy bank they can and try to maintain this illusion that we're not raising taxes. Fees are going up. There are a lot of indirect costs to California families that we're having to endure because of this phony pledge of no new taxes.
Well, you're correct on all of that. The pledge was we're going to tear up the credit cards. Not so. They actually found new credit cards. The governor did. The Senate Democrats have a proposal that is more rational and sane than any of this other thing that's going on. We are simply starving people in the for a rapidly growing state that is in very heavy competition from around the world. We're starving our education system here. Last year, we spent $10,000 per student at the University of California. In 1990, we spent $15,000 per student. The same percentage drop has occurred at the state university system,
mm-hmm.
and we've dropped to 46th, 47th in the amount of support that we give to our K through 12 students. But this state can't succeed unless we have the best educated workforce and professionals in the world, and we are way, way off the mark here. It's a very serious long-term problem, and we're starving the system. It's a slow starvation. We hardly notice the weakness, but it's there.
And, John, I agree with you on investing in the next generation of California workers by investing in higher education now. I think that it would be so foolhardy to cut any further. And what you just described, that the amount of money dedicated per student has declined, even as inflation and other costs have gone up. We are not properly investing in the higher education system in this state, and we will pay a huge price for it if, again, we stick to the political interests of the governor and Republicans instead of the common interests of the citizens of California.
Well, there was once a time that Democrats and Republicans were more than willing to invest their resources today to create a better future for tomorrow, and that seems to have been lost. It's not only in the education sector, which is so serious, it's also found in the transportation sector, which you've described. We're wasting billions upon billions of dollars sitting in gridlock in our cities. We're polluting the atmosphere. We're driving each other crazy. We get the road rage and all kinds of things coming out of it. And we have yet to build a modern transportation system. We're 30, 40 years behind Europe in building a modern transportation system. Japan, even China, is building a high-speed rail system from Beijing to Shanghai. And we're dithering here. We've been 30 years trying to build that high-speed rail system. It may actually, hopefully, it'll be on the November ballot, and hopefully the public will approve it. But these are critical investments that we must make. It is disappointing. It is very, very disappointing. I know that many of my colleagues on the Democratic side are willing to vote for increasing taxes. But at the same time, they also want to demand that the money be spent well, that we seek reform in the system, and that we are efficient and effective in all that we do. That ought to be our watchword. Yes, raise taxes, but demand efficiency and effectiveness.
John Garamendi is with us, California's Lieutenant Governor. We'll go to the phone shortly, so if you have a comment or a question for him, you can dial in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, John, moving from investments to reasonable cuts in state spending, one of the true embarrassments is that we are on track now to spend more on locking up prisoners than educating students across our entire higher education system. And with the prison system under court supervision now, the costs there may go up exponentially without real approval or policy process from the legislature or the governor. And one of the things that you and I have talked about, and that the governor originally raised back in the state of the state message in January, is the need to reduce the prison population. It's the only way to reduce the costs of corrections. Front page story on the San Francisco Chronicle today is that the death chamber and the housing for death row inmates that was originally, well, the death chamber part was secretly authorized by the governor, and then it was exposed that he had been trying to build a new facility to please the federal courts without getting approval from the legislature. And now we're seeing a cost overrun of $40 million to build housing for condemned inmates at San Quentin Prison. That's just one example of the waste. And there are tens of thousands of nonviolent offenders. I'm not in favor of releasing death row inmates. I want to be very clear about that. But I am in favor of releasing nonviolent offenders and older life prisoners who do not pose a real threat to public safety and whose parole or other supervision can be handled much more cheaply if we take them out of a state prison.
Well, you've raised an issue that absolutely has to be addressed. There are people in the prisons that in no way, no how can cause trouble. They are invalids, they are aged, they're disabled, they are whatever. They're not going to be any trouble at all. They should be discharged. They would then become Medicare patients being taken care of by the federal government. But as long as they're prisoners, it's 100% cost to the state. There are numerous prisoners that ought to be sent back to the foreign countries from which they came. And in addition to all that, we're going to have a $7 billion bill from the receiver. This is the issue you raised before about medical services at the prisons.
Mm-hmm.
From the receiver to build first-class hospitals, clinics for prisoners. At the same time, we got 6 million Californians that can't get into a hospital because they don't have insurance. And I'm going, wait a minute here. What's fair about all of this? Yes, they need medical care, but we have hospitals that are closing down. We have nursing homes that are half full. We have facilities out there that easily house these sick, disabled, long-term care prisoners without having to build new hospitals for them and new clinics and new mental facilities for them. So I'm going, well, wait a minute. All this talk about public-private partnership, if there was ever the need, an opportunity for it, it exists right now. Yes, we may have to put the locks on the outside of the doors. We may have to build a fence around the facility, but let's get on with it. We're talking $7 billion. That's more money than we spend over a 10-year period on building university facilities.
And John, the governor did articulate, he floated an idea to provide for early release for a number of prisoners in California, and then it disappeared. Is that a result of Susan Kennedy, his chief of staff, who's pretty tight with the prison guards union?
I have no idea. I have no idea, but it was abandoned. There was heat from the Republicans about this. And you know, what needed to be done is to do the hard work of government, to sit down and talk it through, negotiate it out. A broad blanket release prisoners early, everybody goes, oh, my God, we can't do that. And we shouldn't do that. We ought to look at the specific prisoner. Is this prisoner a threat? Is this prisoner totally disabled and can't get out of bed? What's that person doing in prison? Why are we spending that kind of money on that on a person that isn't going to in any way be harmful? So forth. You work it through. That's hard, tough, negotiating work. You don't just give it a shot and then run away from it.
Yeah. Let's take some phone calls. Drew is on the line from Monterey. Hello, Drew. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with the Lieutenant Governor.
Hey, Peter. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor. Peter, your analysis on the prison systems is just so spot on. I couldn't say it any better myself.
Wow, this is Drew in Monterey agreeing with me.
Absolutely, buddy. You're spot on, correct.
You made my day.
Drug charges, you know, just ridiculous things and costing so much money when these people should be getting counseling. If they were not in prison, they could be working, hopefully working. It could be mandated that they work, and they could be helping to pay for their counseling and bettering their lives. Now, with the hospitals, I think the hospitals are suffering because people are using emergency rooms as their primary care, and that doesn't really all have to do with the lack of insurance in our country. It has a lot to do with the amazingly large number of illegal immigrants that use the hospital's emergency room as their primary care for their primary option for medical care. But what I really wanted to get to, and a suggestion for the Lieutenant Governor, not really a suggestion, an idea, is, you know, all businesses across the country right now are having to cut back. That's just a fact of life. People are getting their hours cut back. People are losing their jobs. It's the only way the business owners can survive right now. Now, I don't see the government as any different. I don't think that people should have their wages lowered. My idea is that efficiency experts come into all realms of the government and start eliminating people who just aren't needed. I mean, there's a lot of people in government, and, you know, I'm talking, you know, parks, Department of Motor Vehicles, you know, all branches of government where people are just dead weight.
All right, Drew, I've got your point. I got a break coming up, so let's go to the comment from John Garamendi. Go, John.
Well, he raises some good points, and I think, you know, picking specific areas is, you know, always an interesting way of carrying on a conversation. But as I said earlier, there is a improve the efficiency of any system, including private companies as well as the government. And that must be one of the tasks that any administration must always be doing, and it's an ongoing thing. It's not done just once. It's done daily. Searching for those efficiencies, the effectiveness, and changing the organizational structure so that you can accomplish the goal with less less money, less people. A lot of that takes place in government, but there's still plenty of room to make those changes. And in identifying the prison system as one of the targets for serious reform and serious savings is absolutely correct.
All right, and you need to know, John, that Dave is my contrarian caller. He rarely agrees with me, so this is
I noticed the excitement and thrill in your voice.
Very special day. We're going to take a break and return with California Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. And if you have a comment or a question, call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, Drew.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Well, checking traffic for the final time this evening on KRXA. Couple of new problems. Aptos, Soquel Drive at Sunset Way. We have a crash with two cars just reported. CHP's on the way. An older one, southbound one before Soquel Drive. Two cars now cleared off to the shoulder. CHP on the scene. Tow truck's on the way. And for Marina, Reservation Road at West Blanco Road. Watch out for a big cement block. Cars swerving to avoid that as they go by. Northbound 17, we had reports of heavy traffic. Highway 1 to La Madrona Drive due to possible road work going on out there. That may still be the case, so be prepared for heavy traffic as you approach the scene. Going the other way, the usual slowdown, South 17 onto Southbound 1, and heavy traffic, South 101 Coyote Creek Golf Drive. Actually stop and go as you make your way down into Morgan Hill. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
9 p.m. Saturdays, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. Quantum minds find the relevance in all of God's creation. Join us with notable guests Admiral Hyman G. Rickover, father of American nuclear navy, Albert Einstein, Robert John Kennedy, from the perspective of the quantum mind. The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Link, Saturday, 9 p.m. on KRXA 540.
California needs a budget. It's urgent. It's urgent. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. John Garamendi, California's Lieutenant Governor, with us. John, I got a couple of callers for you, but first, just your sense. Will we get a budget, do you think, before the Republicans and Democrats break for their conventions? Democratic convention comes up first at the end of August. John, do we have you? We have lost the Lieutenant Governor. He's probably trying to dial back, but the line was jammed because I had a block there, so hopefully he's hitting redial feverishly, and we'll get him back here in just a moment. Let's go to Dave in Eureka. Thanks for calling, Dave.
Well, I hope he can hear me because I got a tough one for him. My own situation is I was a state officer for employee associations, Department of Corrections, and social workers and institutions, including the state president. And the observation that I want to share with him and get his thoughts is that the last honest governor this state had, the last governor who had the unique idea of spending the state money to build dams and universities and schools and the highway systems and pipelines and all that, was old man Brown.
Yeah.
He was the last one that decided to use the money to benefit. Everybody after that is taking the money, stuffed it in a wheelbarrow, and ran on the street with it. So this is a reality. It's one that I've seen firsthand as an employee association spokesman. So I want to know, can he comment on that?
Well, Dave, I'm really sorry we lost him. He's on a cell phone, we could tell, and we lost him during the break. He may call back. So let me put you on hold because I'd love to be able to let you get ear to ear with him and share that.
You don't think he heard I was coming?
No, he didn't. But just tell me a little bit more about that. What was the employee association that you headed?
Well, I was with the California Youth Counselors Association, the California Association of Institutional Peace Officers, and the California Association of Institutional Social Workers.
Oh. All right, Dave, stand by. We got the Lieutenant Governor back. And, John, thanks for redialing. Dave is on the line from Eureka, and I'll just sum up for him. He worked at the state level representing different employees who work for the state of California. And, Dave, go ahead and just fire up your question real quick.
Well, Mr. Garamendi, my unfortunate experience, and I do want your most forthright comment, is that the last honest governor the state of California had was old man Brown, who had the unique idea of spending the public treasury to benefit the citizens of this state. He built the highways of this state. He built the universities. He built the school system, and he did the dams, the pipelines. He did all that. Since then, the governors have been spending every dime they can get their hands on and not moving an inch of highway, not putting in anything, overtaxing the universities. And I'm saying our state went corrupt. I don't know if you went down that road with them, so I throw it out for you.
All right, John?
Well, the word I used earlier in this is investment, and there are two different kinds of investment. One is the physical investment that you've described so very well. And California is way, way behind on physical investment. And I certainly agree with the governor about the need to build the infrastructure. However, you can't just borrow and borrow and borrow. You're going to have to pay for some of that as you go, and that's exactly what Pat Brown did with the gasoline tax to pay for the highway system as we built it, as well as the water systems which were built, which were paid for by the water users. Now, the present modality is to borrow, 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 and none of it's paid in the present terms. You just can't do that forever. The second kind of investment is the investment in what I call the intellectual infrastructure. This is the education of our young men and women, our children. If we fail to invest in that infrastructure, the ability of these young men and women to hold a job in a modern, highly competitive economy, this state is going to go down, down, down. And that is what really concerns me. Both of these investments become extremely important.
Well, may I make a comment on that?
Sure, go, Dave.
That is to say that Jerry Brown, Jr., spent twice as much as his father did, say, on the highway system and never moved an inch of highway. And that became the pattern that went thereafter. All the governors, all the state legislators have spent more money than old man Brown did without doing a damn thing to benefit the state. That's where I'm seeing it. Where did it fail? Where they run off, they stuff the money in a wheelbarrow and head for the border with it.
It's much more complex than that, but I certainly understand what you're talking about. There's a lot of money being spent. We talked earlier about the prison systems. It came to one point when I was in the Senate in the 80s, I said, listen, I'm not going to vote for any more prisons, period, until we build at least a university campus. Well, we never did build a university campus, and I never did vote for another prison. It's a question of where are we going to spend our money, how are we going to do these things that we absolutely have to do. We've got a very rapid growing population. We're 38 million people. We're way behind on the investments that we need to make. Fortunately, we still have a very strong entrepreneurial class. We're still living off the research investments that have been made. And we're going to continue for a while, but it is a slow starvation system that we're under now, and that has got to end.
Dave, thanks for a great contribution today. I really appreciate it. And, John, just about 45 seconds, what's the status of the Yosemite fire, and are we getting good response there?
Well, I think we are. These are very, very difficult areas. These canyon areas in the Sierra Nevada Mountains are extremely difficult, and and they're very dangerous. Dangerous because there's not been a fire, because homes are being built in these very dangerous areas. And so, but my understanding is that the fire is they're gaining the upper hand, although it's far from control. And Peter, since we only have a few more minutes, you may want to listen sometime around 11 o'clock tomorrow morning about what I intend to do in 2010.
Is there an announcement coming?
Well, hang on. 11 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be announcing what I intend to do at 2010.
Okay. I'll look forward to that, Governor.
Hey, take care, Peter.
Can we lose the lieutenant? Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same great radio stations and podcasts, too.
To you. Keep smiling until then.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Nearly 4 months after the salmonella outbreak started, food safety investigators seem to be close to having the mystery solved. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
One scientist said it might be the smoking gun in the salmonella hunt. David Acheson of the FDA told Congress the new evidence came from a pepper farm in Mexico.
Both the water used for irrigation and a sample of serrano peppers from the same farm that matched the outbreak strain of Salmonella St. Paul. So this is a key breakthrough.
They're now checking where products from that farm went and whether they could have contaminated other produce that ended up on U.S. tables. In the meantime, the FDA says don't eat fresh serrano or jalapeno peppers from Mexico. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
By an overwhelming vote late today, the House approved a major consumer protection bill.
It sets the toughest lead standards in the world for products that are going to be used by our children.
Texas Republican Joe Barton. The measure would ban lead and dangerous chemicals from things that are likely to end up in kids' mouths. It gives the Consumer Product Safety Commission more money and more clout and mandates third-party testing for many children's products before they can be sold. This is a response to the rash of recalls last year when 45 million products, many of them made in China, had to be pulled from store shelves. The Senate is likely to go along with this bill, and President Bush is expected to sign it. Computer technicians are still working on the software problem that shut down American Airlines' baggage handling system at Kennedy Airport in New York. WCBS Radio's Mike Zirinax reports.
Luggage stacked as far as the eye can see here inside the American Airlines departures terminal. Long lines of frustrated passengers being told a baggage transport breakdown is the problem. No one liked what they were hearing.
I was willing to pay the $15 to check the bag, but now if I'm not even going to get it, what am I supposed to do? Take it on board with me? They probably won't let me.
Many passengers choosing to fly off without their luggage, with the promise it would be delivered to them later.
Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert was wounded, and today he became a lame duck. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger says Olmert has announced plans to resign in the midst of a corruption scandal.
Olmert was basically doomed after an American Jewish businessman, Morris Talansky, testified that he gave him envelopes stuffed with cash to support